your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out. And I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey guys, I'm Bob at Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the craze you'll crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopped pecans. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
To see what was happening because they were required to maintain 6 feet of social distance or because people were in their way. The material in the affidavit that's alleging an atmosphere of intimidation and hostility toward GOP poll workers is voluminous. Reading between the lines, some of the frustration experienced by poll workers and refusal to entertain further complaints may have been come by honestly, but there is no way to actually tell. Here's the bottom line. If you lose a state by 150,000 votes, it's going to be very, very difficult to challenge the results of that particular election. That does not mean that we should not have a legal process. Okay, and so the legal process is going forward, and it is important here to distinguish fact from rumor. So, for example, there's been a lot of talk about Dominion voting systems because there was one county in Michigan that we have talked about at length on the show already. It was called Altrum County, in which 6,000 votes were accidentally shifted by manual error from the Trump campaign to the Biden campaign. And then that was fixed because they actually have verification processes and all this stuff is double-checked. That was switched. Okay, Dominion has also been used in Maricopa County. Maricopa County is run in Arizona by the Secretary of State of Arizona, who's a Republican. And Maricopa County didn't have any problems with the Dominion system. So in other words, a problem with a software system that was human error in Michigan does not mean that everywhere that uses the Dominion system, you're going to see 6,000 votes shift from one side to the other side. In other words, you do have to prove the voter fraud. This is the high legal bar. And I'm explaining the legal bar because I think people have to have a realistic appraisal of the situation right now. The legal appraisal of the situation is pretty obvious, and lawyers right, left, and center will tell you this, right? Just from a legal point of view, the Trump team has a very rough row to hoe here. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for them to climb this particular hill and prove that tens of thousands of votes in a wide variety of states, because now it's not just Pennsylvania. It's Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia were done wrongly. Now, again, does that mean that there is not going to be some proof of voter fraud? There is going to be proof of voter fraud in the media because they're garbage at this. They've decided that voter fraud simply doesn't exist. Right? They've said that voter fraud and voter irregularity are figments of your imagination. Poof. So 5 seconds ago, they were telling you that voter fraud and voter irregularity were going to be used by the Trump campaign and voter suppression in order to prevent Joe Biden from being elected. Then Joe Biden, they think, was elected. And the first thing they do is, boom, cleanest election in history. Nonetheless, a Pennsylvania judge ruled on Thursday that voters who took advantage of an extended deadline to provide missing proof of ID will not have their ballots counted because the government official who gave the extension lacked the legal authority to do so. This is Ryan Saavedra writing for Daily Wire. According to Bloomberg Law, Commonwealth Court Judge Mary Hannah Levitt ruled Thursday that Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Buchfer lacked the authority to extend the original November deadline by 3 days. Originally, there was a deadline that by November 9th, if you had a ballot that was not properly marked, they would have an ID check. And then Buchfer just decided randomly to extend that by 3 days. The ruling means the battleground state that's already been declared for Joe Biden can't count ballots from voters who submitted missing ID between November 10th and November 12th. Ballots with cured ID issues received before that are not, in fact, being challenged. Still, the number of ballots that we are talking about here is not in the tens of thousands of ballots. It is probably in the hundreds of ballots. If it's in the thousands, it's in the very, very low thousands of ballots. Okay, so that is where things stand, legally speaking. Now, will the process play out? It will play out, right? As I've been saying all along, the media are in a rush to declare this thing, mainly because they know that Trump isn't going to concede this until all of the states have actually verified their counts and until the electors are selected. That's typical Trump. Trump is not going to do that, nor is Trump forced to do that. There's nothing in the Constitution, there's nothing in our legal process that says that if NBC or ABC or Fox News projects that an election has been won by a person, that you then have to concede. Right? That is a sort of nicety that has been typically observed, but it is not, in fact, something that is legally obligated, nor does it have much of an impact on the transition process, as no less than Joe Biden himself has stated. Nonetheless, the media have ramped this thing up because the idea here is that if Trump doesn't concede, it's just more evidence that Republicans are authoritarians and they're terrible and a coup is underway. We'll get to the media's hysteria over all of this in just a second. But first, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate, backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider it. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. With all of that said, it's been amusing to watch as members of the Democratic Party declare that the election is over and that if you have questions about the election, you're a very bad person. No less a personage than Stacey Abrams went on TV last night and declared that Joe Biden's lead in Georgia was insurmountable. She's on The View saying this. Now, I will note that Joe Biden's lead in Georgia currently is under 15,000 votes. Stacey Abrams lost her gubernatorial race against Brian Kemp by 50,000 votes, by like four times that number. Right? She lost by a lot more votes than Joe Biden is currently winning Georgia, according to the current counts. She says Biden's lead is insurmountable. She also maintains she's governor of Georgia. Are you getting the feeling these folks are not particularly consistent when it comes to their claims of voter suppression or voter fraud, and that actually all they really care about is the results? Here is Governor Stacey Abrams of Georgia.
We don't know how long it's going to take, but we are absolutely certain that this lead is insurmountable. It is absolute, and Joe Biden wins Georgia. The reality is they have the right to follow the law, and the law permits this type of behavior. And during my election in 2018, we fought through the courts to make sure every vote got counted. Sadly, they just want to do a recount of what we already accomplished, and I wish them well. But we know that Joe Biden is going to be not only the president of the United States, but the first president in 30 years from the Democratic Party to carry Georgia.
Wow. So it's an insurmountable lead, guys. There's no way that any recount, there's no way that any voter fraud or voter irregularity could overturn that count, says Governor Stacey Abrams of Georgia. I'm getting very, very tired of hearing from people who are fully willing. I mean, literally, the DNC called for the governor of Georgia in the middle of the DNC. And now they're talking about undermining of democracy. There's this extraordinarily self-flattering view that Democrats have of the world that is actually dangerous to the country, really dangerous, because it basically suggests all the angels on their are on their side and all the devils are on the other side. Okay, that'll become clear when we talk about Barack Obama's pathetic, self-serving, 768-page first volume of his memoir. My God, the Pentateuch, okay, the five books of Moses in Hebrew are not that long. God didn't have that much to say, but Barack Obama has plenty to say. That was his Old Testament. Can't wait for his New Testament. That'll be volume two. By the way, dude's written, what would that make, his fourth memoir? His fourth memoir? There's no human being important enough they require four memoirs. Not a single human requires four memoirs. We'll get to Barack Obama in just a second, but Chuck Schumer. Right. Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, a guy who 5 minutes ago was talking about getting rid of the filibuster, and members of his caucus were talking about adding states willy-nilly to the Senate and packing the Supreme Court. He says that we are at risk of a coup in the United States because Donald Trump won't just say the election is over, which, again, there's no obligation for him to say the election. Let's be real about this. Donald Trump can go kicking and screaming, and as long as he does not actually engage in law breaking, he has not violated anything legally. Right. There is no threat to the Constitution if Donald Trump. Again, Donald Trump can be whoever Donald Trump wants to be. He can leave office saying the entire thing was a fraud and a sham and all. It's not going to matter one iota. If the Electoral College votes the way the Electoral College is probably going to vote, given the current vote counts and the certifications of state votes as they currently stand, then we will all move on because that is how the country works. And people will be pissed and people will have doubts about the voter process and people will call for rectification of many of the areas of voter unfairness that we have seen across the country. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But Chuck Schumer, of all people, saying that Republicans are poisoning the well of democracy, says Chuck Schumer, come on.
Instead of working to pull the country back together so that we can fight our common enemy, COVID-19, Republicans in Congress are spreading conspiracy theories, denying reality, and poisoning the well of our democracy. The Republicans should stop their shenanigans about an election that President Trump has already lost and focus their attention on the immediate issue at hand, providing relief to a country living through the COVID health and economic crises.
Okay, by the way, I do love Chuck Schumer suggesting that Donald Trump is so distracted that he won't pass any sort of relief bill. You know who held up the relief bill? We all know who held up the relief bill. Nancy Pelosi in the House. And it probably cost her House colleagues double digits in the House. Okay, but Chuck Schumer, again, this is all just nonsense. It's all nonsense, and it is self-flattering, politically driven nonsense. I think my favorite comments of the last 24 hours over all of this coup talk came from Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers was like, Donald Trump, that guy's a threat to democracy. Also, let's get rid of the Electoral College. He's a threat to the system. Let's destroy the system. Let's get rid, you know what I don't like? I don't like federalism anymore, and I don't like the Electoral College anymore. Let's get rid of all of those things in order to restore democracy. Let's get rid of all the institutions. Also, Donald Trump is a big threat to your institutions. Here's idiot Seth Meyers.
It's not a good situation when you have one political party committed to democracy no matter the outcome, and the other opposed to democracy at all costs. Even if this ridiculous coup attempt fails, it doesn't bode well for the future, which is why we need bold systemic reforms to empower everyone to vote and honor what the majority of voters actually want, like abolishing the Electoral College and fixing the Voting Rights Act, among other things. These should be no-brainers. If we had a healthy, functioning political system, both parties would react to these ideas by saying,
sure, done.
Okay, he's such a moron. I'm sorry, Seth Meyers is a moron. Moron. Okay, when Seth Meyers says there that one party is committed to democracy and the other party is not committed to democracy, therefore, the party committed to democracy should reinstate the Voting Rights Act, which was put in place in the 1960s. It required pre-clearance from the federal government with regard to drawing of districts and was designed to be phased out over time when it became clear that these districts were not drawn for racial reasons. And the Supreme Court recently ruled the Voting Rights Act was no longer relevant 50 years after it had been written. He wants that restored so the federal government gets to rule the states on how the districts are drawn. And then he also wants to get rid of the Electoral College. But don't worry, he's the guy committed to democracy. Okay, in just one second, we're going to get to the continuing self-flattering narrative Democrats are painting. So according to Democrats, Democrats love democracy. Also, Democrats are the only people who care about COVID. We'll get to that ridiculous narrative in just one second as COVID spreads across the country. First, shopping for home and auto insurance is necessary. I mean, you need home and need auto insurance, but it can seem daunting to find the best possible coverage. The trick is knowing where to find the right coverage at the best possible price. That's why Policy Genius has made it easy. They combine a cutting-edge insurance marketplace with help from licensed experts to save you time and money. Policy Genius saves their home and auto customers an average of $1,000 per year by reshopping their rates. Here's how it works. First, you head on over to PolicyGenius.com. You answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then PolicyGenius does the rest. They'll compare rates from over 30 top insurers, from Progressive to Nationwide, and find you the lowest quotes. Their licensed experts will look at all the ways to maximize your savings, including bundling your home and auto policies. If PolicyGenius finds you a better rate than what you're currently paying, they will get you switched for free. That kind of service has earned PolicyGenius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So, if you're a homeowner, head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. They've saved their home and auto insurance customers an average of $1,000 a year by reshopping. PolicyGenius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and extremely important to get it right. Go check them out right now at PolicyGenius.com. Coming up, Democrats have made the claim that they are the only ones who care about democracy. Now they're claiming they're the only ones who care about COVID, which is weird since they're holding up a relief package. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-831-6155. you may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon Christensen. When I became a dentist, I learned how quickly poor oral health can lead to other serious health problems. And for people without access to care, these problems can spiral very quickly. I wanted to help, so I joined Dental Lifeline Network. Right now, there's a wait list for patients in need in your community. I'm asking fellow dentists who will join me in seeing one patient per year.
To learn more, visit willyouseeone.org, furnished by Dental Lifeline Network.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. The Democrats, who are, of course, the greatest, wisest, kindest among us, they've now declared that Republicans are to blame for COVID, of course. As part of the Democrats' self-flattering narrative here, there are a couple of things. One, they love democracy. Republicans hate democracy. Also, Republicans love COVID. Right. This is their other narrative, is that Republicans love COVID. So here is the reality, as some of us have been saying for quite a while. It turns out that nobody has a good solution to COVID. There are no good solutions to COVID. This is why I have been suggesting the only thing that you can really do is expend resources trying to protect the most vulnerable among your population. There's a study recently published, I believe, in the Wall Street Journal that suggested that the number of people above who are on Medicare in the United States, essentially everybody over the age of 65, who have died of COVID with no pre-existing conditions, right? Above the age of 65 is 2,500. That means that what you actually have to do is protect not even the old, but truly you have to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Okay, now the thing is, in the United States, that's a lot of people because there are a lot of people who have diabetes, a lot of people who have asthma, a lot of people who have heart conditions. And hypertension could theoretically be a contributing factor to a bad reaction to COVID. But given widespread community spread, not just here in the United States, but all over Europe, the fact is that the only thing that you can do is shield the most vulnerable. And what that does mean is that if you have vulnerable people in your family, you should wear a mask around them and socially distance. Right? That's just the smart thing to do. I have two grandmothers, both of whom are over the age of 90. Thank God they're still alive and doing decently. And if I visited them, I would definitely not visit them without a face mask or without being several feet back, right? I mean, at least 6 feet back. And that is the smart thing to do. And it's the only thing you can do. Now, there's this weird idea out there that if you just lock everything down, this is going to solve everything. But of course, locking everything down is not going to solve everything. All you're going to end up doing is prolonging the agony in the sense that you lock it down and then eventually you have to reopen. So yes, a vaccine is on the way, but the vaccine is not going to be widely available, we are told, until March or April. Is anybody realistically suggesting that we all be confined to our homes from November until March? Is anybody really suggesting that at this point? Even the WHO doesn't suggest that that is a good idea. Even Anthony Fauci suggests that that is not a good idea. And Anthony Fauci is about as hawkish on lockdowns as anybody in the American federal government right now. Fauci appeared on Good Morning America yesterday, and he said, there's no appetite for locking down. We shouldn't be pushing full-scale lockdowns at this point.
There is no appetite for locking down on the American public, but I believe that we can do it without a lockdown. I really do. I mean, sometimes when people talk about the measures that I'm suggesting we double down on, they equivocate that and say that, well, that makes that not a lockdown. It isn't necessarily lockdown. You could still get businesses going. You could still have economic forward thinking while you're doing that. You don't necessarily have to shut everything down.
Okay, so that actually is accurate, right? Okay, and Republicans basically across the country are saying the same thing. They're saying, okay, they're saying mostly what I'm saying, right? Be cautious. Don't go out into crowded areas. If you are going to be in crowded areas, then make sure that you wear a mask and you try to socially distance as much as possible. Like, we're all on the same page here. It is not as though there's this vast split in terms of where the American mind is. Doesn't matter. Democrats have declared that if you are a Republican, you literally want people to die. So Nancy Pelosi yesterday, she said that Republicans and the GOP should be carrying deaths on their conscience. This is the lady who's eaten ice cream in front of her Sub-Zero fridge while declaring that she was not going to be passing a COVID relief bill. She was holding up a COVID relief bill at the time. She's still holding up a COVID relief bill. By the way, if you are in favor of more lockdowns, you know what you need to pass a COVID relief bill, because there are a bunch of people who aren't going to be able to go to work. How do you think they're going to be able to pay your bills? Coming up, for all the talk about how Republicans are abandoning COVID. They're just not paying attention to it. Weird, because I'm seeing a lot of Republicans, including Trump administration officials, saying reasonable things about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Churches across the U.S. had to make tough decisions to suspend in-person gatherings. As months went on, restaurants and other businesses were able to resume if restrictions were followed. But churches discovered that there were different standards for worship services and Bible studies.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out. And I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
After you, if you were naughty and not nice. Anyway, here was Biden's spokeswoman yesterday ducking whether he would actually attempt a national lockdown, which is like, good luck. First of all, you don't have the power under the Constitution of the United States, thank God, to impose a national level lockdown, particularly in January. We don't even know where this thing is going to be in January. But I think that you should pretty much commit that you are not going to use an executive order to try and lock down the entire American economy. I mean, if you want to talk about the essence of tyranny, that would be it. The president of the United States declaring, you know what, national lockdown time. Here is Biden's spokeswoman literally refusing to answer the question.
Is that something that President-elect Biden is considering, a 4 to 6 week lockdown?
Well, I think he laid out very clearly across the course of the campaign the things that he wants to do to get the virus under control, including encouraging national mask mandates.
But what does that mean? No plans for a lockdown, but that could change? I mean, he's on the Michael Osterholm's on the task force.
There are steps that we can take now, again, encouraging people to wear masks.
Again, they're just going to say mask, 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 but they'll hold in abeyance the possibility of a total lockdown of the American economy. And mayors all over the country who are Democrats are now calling for total lockdown, except when they're not. So Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot issued another lockdown advisory. She demanded that you cancel your Thanksgiving plans. Starting on Monday, according to the Chicago Tribune, she'll impose a 10-person ceiling on gatherings such as weddings, funerals, and other events. She also tweeted out a stay-at-home advisory for Chicago will go into effect on Monday, November 16th at 6 a.m. By the way, I do love these delays. Is the, what, did the virus like not, the, like, is delayed for the next 3 days or so? Like, if you can issue this advisory, shouldn't you do it, like, right now? Like, is that big an emergency? This advisory calls on all Chicagoans to do the following. Stay home, unless for essential reasons. Stop having guests over, including family members you do not live with. Avoid non-essential travel and cancel your Thanksgiving plans. By the way, I will just note that the queen of science, who yesterday released an entire video about how much she values science, this was her, like, 6 days ago at a rally in the open with no mask on, shouting into a loudspeaker about Joe Biden. That's a picture of her right there. You see this? Here she goes.
This is a great day for our country. We get to take our democracy back.
Yeah! Giant crowd in the streets, many not wearing masks.
For all those people who voted,
amen.
You made this happen.
Yeah! Okay, so that was okay. That was okay. 6 days ago, that was okay. Now, you can't have grandma and grandpa over for Thanksgiving dinner, even if you're being cautious and socially distancing. So, yeah, I definitely trust these people and don't think this is political at all. How about Bill de Blasio? Bill de Blasio is doing the same thing. So Bill de Blasio was asked about Andrew Cuomo's restrictions on CNN last night. He said, I think that Andrew Cuomo's new restrictions that basically say that we're going to shut down bars and restaurants after 10 p.m. because COVID apparently does not apply before 10 p.m. Also saying that you can't have 10 people in your backyard, but you can't have 8 people in your house, which makes no sense at all. Here's Bill de Blasio saying these standards make perfect sense to him.
He and I have talked about this a lot. I think he's in the right place. I think it will help for sure. And the additional work that's being done in Staten Island in particular, I think is going to help a lot. Look, the goal here is to turn this around. We're still at one of the lowest levels of positivity in the country. We can drive it down again.
Okay, and I'm just going to note that, like, again, 6 days ago, here was Bill de Blasio in the streets celebrating with people.
Liberation. It's just joyous. People have felt this weight and a sense of we're divided, and we shouldn't be that way. And now there's a feeling that anything's possible, that we can heal again, that we can move forward. And look, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did something amazing. This is turning out to be a huge victory.
Okay, so
all
somebody,
over the country.
Somebody, stop it there. Somebody should have told Bill de Blasio that there were a bunch of Orthodox Jews having like a prayer session behind him. Maybe we'd have done something about the giant ass crowd directly behind him celebrating in the middle of a pandemic. But that was apparently totally fine. By the way, the rewritten history by which Donald Trump is responsible for everything COVID related. Let me just take you back to like mid-February. Ronald Klain is the incoming chief of staff for Joe Biden. If Joe Biden is in fact legally made the president elect of the United States. Here's a Ronald Klain tweet from the middle of February. He was responding to a tweet from Bill de Blasio, February 13th. It was my honor to spend time with our Asian-American-owned small businesses in Flushing today. This vibrant community is standing strong, but they need your support. Our Chinatowns are open for business. Make some dinner plans. Do some shopping. Stand with our neighbors. This is from all the captains of science who were saying that they would have changed everything had they been in charge in February. Okay, Ronald Klain. Okay, that is the new incoming Joe Biden chief of staff. Here is what he tweeted. He tweeted, we don't have a COVID-19 epidemic in the United States, but we are starting to see a fear epidemic. Kudos to Mayor Bill de Blasio and others for standing against that. So it's not that everybody does their best here and people make mistakes. It's that the political priors decide everything. They do. If Donald Trump was talking about the dangers of the Wuhan virus in February, then it was xenophobic and you should go down to Chinatown. If Donald Trump started talking about how the issues with COVID were overblown, then it was lock everything down immediately. The binary nature of politics is one of the stupidest things in the world. One of the dumbest things ever. By the way, again, CNN was spending the week talking about how these parties in the streets, this celebration, this block party that was happening all over the United States, it was good. And then yesterday they had on a medical guest and they were like, you know what, you should cancel Thanksgiving because gathering should not be the norm.
Less is more this Thanksgiving. It is the COVID Thanksgiving. We don't want to give the virus while we're giving thanks. We want to protect grandma and grandpa, and we do that by keeping ourselves as separate as possible. As much as we would like to get together this year, separation should be the norm. Please, everybody, be careful. We don't want Thanksgiving to be a spreader event.
Okay. Honestly, I don't disagree with a lot of this because bottom line is that people are going to have to act in responsible fashion. I'm just not going to hear it from a bunch of people who 5 seconds ago were saying it's totally fine to gather in the streets and swig from the same champagne bottle because you don't like Donald Trump. It's just it's so irritating and so stupid, and it undermines faith in science. It undermines faith in the media. The same people who shout science are at the same time shouting that racism is a scientific issue that requires you to be out in the streets. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay any attention to you guys. I'm just not. I'll pay attention to people who have been consistent, that large-scale gatherings in the middle of a pandemic are bad all the way through. Like, those people I will listen to. I will listen to people who have said that we should be cautious all along. I'm not going to listen to people who are like, either willy-nilly, depending on your political point of view, you can do what you want, or you can't do what you want at all. Like, that undermines public trust. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. And we'll get to the battle that is now raging inside the Democratic Party between the Democrats and the radicals, between the so-called mainstream and the radicals. And the radicals are going to win. The reason the radicals are going to win is because they are the mainstream. Okay, the fact is that the moderates inside the Democratic Party are now the minority in their own party, and the reason is because of Barack Obama. And he's making this very clear with his voluminous tome of memoirs. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, there are 1,000 reasons why protecting your home matters to you. Maybe you're like me, and you just got a bunch of kids running around the house, and you can't keep an eye on them, and they're little suicide machines. Well, they're not several of me. There's only one of me. I've got a bunch of kids. How do I keep an eye on them? With Ring. Ring has security products for every corner of your home, inside and out. Best of all, you can see it all in one simple app. With Ring, you can keep an eye on your home no matter where you are, right from your phone. If somebody stops by or something is going on, Ring lets you know. It's peace of mind anytime knowing that your home is protected. Whatever you call home, Ring has everything you need to protect it. See and speak to whoever is at your door from anywhere with video doorbells. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. Protect your whole home with Ring Alarm, a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit right now at ring.com/Shapiro. It comes with that Ring Video Doorbell 3 and the Chime Pro. It is the perfect way to start your Ring experience, plus free two-day shipping. Go to ring.com/Shapiro. Again, that is ring.com/Shapiro. We just moved. First thing we did, we installed our Ring devices. Go to ring.com/Shapiro to do the same. Get that special deal on the Ring Welcome Kit. Okay, so meanwhile, the Democrats are trying to cope with the fact that they lost a bunch of seats in the House, that they are in all likelihood not going to gain the Senate. And this battle has broken out into the open between the Democratic radicals and the so-called moderates inside the Democratic Party. Biden is supposed to be a representative of the moderate Democratic Party, a return to normalcy. There's only one problem. The heart and soul of the Democratic Party is not controlled by the moderates. The heart and soul of the Democratic Party is controlled by the radicals. Because Barack Obama was a radical posing as a moderate. He took over the party and he shaped that party in his image. Joe Biden, in order to be a return to normalcy, would have to be a return to the pre-Obama era. But he is not. He is not a return to the pre-Obama era. The only reason that he is apparently the president-elect at this moment, according to media projections, is because he is supposedly following in the footsteps of Barack Obama, who was one of the great political prevaricators of modern American history. I mean, truly. And the battle between the moderates and the non-moderates in the Democratic Party has broken out really, really radically. According to Politico, it was the biggest surprise on election night. Democrats, instead of growing their House majority, actually lost seats. Now the party is going through an internal reckoning on what went wrong. The clearest picture of what happened will come when a full breakdown of how Donald Trump and Joe Biden fared in individual districts across the country is available. But the most shocking results available thus far make it clear Trump did far better than polling indicated he would in many suburban battlegrounds. And in others, Republican congressional candidates may have benefited from ticket splitters. Overall, it looks like 2018 was a high watermark for Democrats, a wave that crested and fell. Democrats' unexpected losses ranged from districts in Florida and Texas, where sliding Latino support provided costly blue-trending suburbs, where affluent voters split their tickets, and rural seats in which Trump's GOP roared back last week. In the end, Democrats could end up losing around 10 seats, depending on the final counts. It'll probably be more now. It'll probably be like 13 or 14. Here are the most surprising congressional races of 2020, and then they name a bunch of areas in which incumbent Democrats lost their districts and lost pretty heavily. Yeah, the point of this, and pretty much everybody in the Democratic Party knows it, is that the moderate Democrats got blown out because they were tied to the radical Democrats. One person who knows this is Senator Joe Manchin. Right? Joe Manchin has always sort of been on the bubble. He keeps getting elected in West Virginia, which is an extremely red state at this point. West Virginia, in terms of presidential elections, it votes like 65-35 in favor of the Republican candidate. But Joe Manchin, because he's sort of an older style moderate Democrat who very often votes with Republicans, he's been able to survive. So he tweeted this out. He tweeted out, "Defund the police, defund my butt. I'm a proud West Virginia Democrat. We are the party of working men and women. We want to protect Americans' jobs and health care. We do not have some crazy socialist agenda, and we do not believe in defunding the police." All of which prompted the Honorable Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, D. Crazy Towns, to tweet out a picture of herself glaring at Joe Manchin. Because during the State of the Union address, Joe Manchin had the temerity to, I believe, applaud for some tax cuts. And AOC sat behind him and glared at him. This is the Slay Queen. Please continue. Continue along. I want her to primary Chuck Schumer. I really, really do. Hey, glaring at Joe Manchin. By the way, chances that Joe Manchin switches to the Republican Party over the course of the next couple of years, I would say at least 50-50. Because otherwise, he's going to lose his seat. Because if he gets tied to that wing of his party, he's toast in West Virginia. But here is the thing. For all the Democrats declaring that they are not, in fact, the party of Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and the squad, makes it very difficult to claim that when Nancy Pelosi is literally posing on covers with Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and the squad. Right? She's not appearing on magazine covers with Abigail Spanberger and Connor Lamb. She's appearing with the hottest new things in the new media with all the Twitter, Instagram crowd, right? The people who make for good clapback tweets, but have no actual ability to get anything done other than shouting socialism at the moon. It's a real problem for the Democrats. As Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, said, "What this election shows more than anything is that there's a mandate against socialism, and Republicans are right about this."
Not one Republican incumbent lost. Republicans won from Miami to New York to Minnesota to California. The only seat the Democrats won was an open seat. And then they claimed to have won a redistricting in North Carolina where Republicans didn't even run. I heard the speaker call it a mandate. It was a mandate against socialism. It was a mandate against defunding the police. It was a mandate against wasting a majority that the Democrats have done for the last Congress.
Okay, so the Democrats have been pushing back against this by saying we're not socialism, we're not defunding the police, we're not that radical. There is only one problem. This is not the party of Bill Clinton. If Bill Clinton ran on his 1992 plan...
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
One true supply-constrained asset, real estate. Intelligence and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider it. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Coming up, we'll get to a simple fact for the Democratic Party. In the debate between the radicals and the non-radicals in the Democratic Party, the radicals have already won, because this is Barack Obama's party, and he was a radical. He just covered it well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 412-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Barack Obama was a radical, and this is Barack Obama's party. This is why the mainstream Democratic Party is not going to survive as currently constituted. The Atlantic, which fired Kevin Williamson for the sin of being pro-life, but obviously will print nearly anything. Ibram Kendi writes over there. They printed some of Barack Obama's memoir. Here are the paragraphs that stick out the most. Okay, so the theme of Barack Obama's presidency and his life is that he is disappointed in you. You get this from Michelle Obama, too. He's disappointed in you, and he's disappointed in American democracy, because what he wants from you and from American democracy is a radical remaking. He wants a radical reshifting. He talks about the contest between Democrats and Republicans, and, of course, it goes to this deeper point that Democrats have fallen headfirst into, which is that if you do not believe in the Democrats' radical agenda on every score, it's because you're a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe. This is Barack Obama, a twice elected president by wide margins both times, talking about how the American people are garbage. He says, this contest is not new. Right now, we are seeing a crisis rooted in a fundamental contest between two opposing visions of what America is and what it should be. A crisis that has left the body politic divided, angry and mistrustful, and has allowed for an ongoing breach of institutional norms, procedural safeguards, and the adherence to basic facts both Republicans and Democrats once took for granted. First of all, being lectured on basic facts by a captain, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, is somewhat galling. But Barack Obama says this contest is not new, of course. In many ways, it has defined the American experience. It's embedded in founding documents that could simultaneously proclaim all men equal and yet count a slave as 3/5 of a man. It finds expression in our earliest court opinions, as when the Chief Justice of the United States bluntly explains to Native Americans that their tribe's rights to convey property aren't enforceable because the court of the conqueror has no capacity to recognize the just claims of the conquered. It's a contest that's been fought on the fields of Gettysburg and Appomattox, but also in the halls of Congress. On a bridge in Selma, Alabama, across the vineyards of California, and down the streets of New York, a contest fought by soldiers, but more often by union organizers, suffragists, Pullman porters, student leaders, waves of immigrants, and LGBTQ activists armed with nothing more than picket signs, pamphlets, or a pair of marching shoes. At the heart of this long-running battle is a simple question. Do we care to match the reality of America to its ideals? Do we really believe that our notions of self-government and individual freedom, equality of opportunity, and equality before the law apply to everybody? Or are we instead committed, in practice, if not in statute, preserving those things for a privileged few, right? Again, if you don't believe in all the radical policy prescriptions of Barack Obama, then you believe in reserving freedom and prosperity and equality of opportunity to a privileged few. Right? You're a bad person. Not only are you a bad person, it turns out, you might be a racist, and also the founding fathers might be a racist. So he says, I'm all in favor of founding principles, even though I might not really believe that the founding principles are, in fact, the founding principle. Right? Here's where we get into the radical 1619 project territory of Barack Obama's thought. He says, I recognize there are those who believe it's time to discard the myth that an examination of America's past and an even cursory glance at today's headlines show that this nation's ideals have always been secondary to conquest and subjugation, a racial caste system and rapacious capitalism, and that to pretend otherwise is to be complicit in a game that was rigged from the start. And I confess, there have been times during the course of writing my book, as I've reflected on my presidency and all that's happened since, when I've had to ask myself whether I was too tempered in speaking the truth as I saw it, too cautious in either word or deed, convinced as I was that by appealing to what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature, I stood a greater chance of leading us in the direction of the America we've been promised. I don't know. He doesn't know. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know if these were actually, maybe the myth is wrong. Maybe America was founded in racist, sexism, bigotry, homophobia, exploitation. And then he says, what I can say for certain is I'm not yet ready to abandon the possibility of America. Oh, so again, you guys, you just keep disappointing Barack Obama. But here's the thing. In order to not disappoint Barack Obama, what you have to do is you just have to concede. That's what you need to do. You need to concede to all of his radical opinions. And if you don't, it's because you want a worse America. You're a bad person. Okay, this is AOC kind of language. This is not the language of unity. This is not the language of discussion. This is not the language of a common vision for the future. This is the language of radicalism. Barack Obama speaks it fluently. He's able to cover it in a way that the radicals in the squad aren't. But he's every bit as radical as they are. It just takes him a little bit longer to word his way around it. This is what made him good at what he did. It's also what makes him a demagogue. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump says millions of doses of the coronavirus vaccine will be ready to go once it's approved.
As soon as April, the vaccine will be available to the entire general population, with the exception of places like New York State, where, for political reasons, the governor decided to say, and you know, I don't think it's good politically. I think it's very bad from a health standpoint, but he wants to take his time on the vaccine.
Mr. Trump said the emergency distribution would emphasize frontline workers, the elderly, and those at high risk. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak says he has tested positive, but he adds he is not experiencing any symptoms at this time. Governors of Oregon and New Mexico ordering near lockdowns in the most sweeping reaction yet to the latest wave of infections, but many of their colleagues in other states show little appetite for reimposing the hardline restrictions of last spring. Also at townhall.com, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito appearing virtually before a meeting of the Federalist Society, telling the group that a virus restriction shouldn't become a recurring feature after the pandemic has passed.
The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Now, notice what I am not saying or even implying. I am not diminishing the severity of the virus's threat to public health.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has been pleading with his state's residents not to gather in large groups, even family and friends, but apparently last week he broke that rule. Newsom says he should not have attended a birthday party, that gathering holding a dozen people from more than three households. State guidelines there limit gatherings to no more than three households. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
At least two people are dead after an apparent steam pipe blast in a maintenance building at a Veterans Affairs office and hospital in Connecticut.
It is with great sorrow that I share that two deaths tragically occurred today as a result of an explosion in the basement of an outer building at the West Haven campus.
Veterans Administration Connecticut Healthcare Director Al Montoya. Officials do say that patient care was not affected by that blast. A banker in Virginia who admitted illegally receiving $1.4 million in fraudulently obtained virus relief funds has been sentenced to a year in prison. Tariq Jafar was arrested in June in New York at an airport after purchasing one-way tickets with his wife to Poland. After the judge imposed the prison term, Jafar collapsed and had to be helped out of the courtroom. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Republican lawmakers say the selection of Elizabeth Warren for a Biden cabinet post would cause a lot of problems. That story from Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew.
The names of Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are being thrown around as possible Biden selections to head up the Treasury and Labor Departments. Some GOP senators say it's likely Warren could garner support from all Democrats and the handful of Republicans she would need for confirmation. It's all speculation now, since it's still not clear who will control the Senate or the White House pending the final election results. Bob Agnew reporting.
Delivery giant DoorDash Incorporated planning to sell its stock to the public, capitalizing on the growing trend of consumers embracing app-based deliveries. San Francisco company filing papers signaling its intent for an IPO. During the first 9 months of this year, revenue for the company more than doubled to $1.9 billion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
In the home, we'll talk with her about that in just a moment. Plus, I have some stories about wokeness that are absolutely stunning. The woke are on the march, and it is ugly. But we begin at this hour with Barack Obama. He's dropped a memoir, guys. And I think it's important at this point to recognize that the Democratic Party is Barack Obama's baby. And that means it's radical. Let's talk for a second about Barack Obama's role in polarizing the country. So I know that there is this myth, this media-created myth, that Barack Obama brought the country together. He was great. His only scandal was a tan suit. Wonderful, wonderful man, Captain Unity over here. And that Barack Obama is a unifying figure in American public life. He is absolutely not. Barack Obama was a radical in sheep's clothing. He always was. If you read Dreams from My Father, he makes this very clear. He says in Dreams from My Father that the same things drive terrorism in Jakarta as drive crime in the heart of Chicago, right? Not ideology, not philosophy, but poverty, right? This is a Marxist vision of how the world works, that poverty drives crime and terrorism. And if you just correct the economic problems, then everything is fine. He also has a very essentialist vision of race in the United States. His belief of race in the United States is that we ought not treat people as individuals, but that we ought to treat people as members of groups, as intersectional groups, right? That you're a victim if you are a member of a particular group. And in fact, because Barack Obama is a member of a group, right, because Barack Obama is black, Barack Obama is a victim too. And he makes this clear in his memoir. He's a victim, a man who was elected by an overwhelming majority of the voting public of the United States in both 2008 and 2012, is apparently a victim of deep-seated American racism. And any inability to effectuate his agenda is because, number one, the American people are too stupid. And number two, because the American people are too racist. This is the great shift that has happened in our politics. Okay, if you look back to 2000 or even to 2004, there are pretty significant differences between the party, particularly in terms of economic vision. But there was no great argument about the foundations of the country. There was no great argument that America was essentially and in its root racist. And you heard people calling each other racist for no apparent reason and because they thought that it was politically popular to do so. But the truth is that that argument was largely ignored. It was largely seen as overwrought. See, if you go back to the 1960s, when a lot of these issues first sprang full-blown into the American public consciousness, now obviously they've been simmering under the surface, and some for quite good reason have been simmering under the surface. And that bubble bursting in the 60s had some very good effects, and it had some very bad effects. Obviously, the good effects would be the civil rights movement. The bad effects would be the complete destruction of traditional notions of morality, for example. Okay, but in the 1960s, a couple of things happened. One, there was a failure of the liberal vision when it came to the role of government in American life. So in the 1960s, there was a vision. is a vision of the anointed that suggested that government could cure all problems. And so government on an economic level was going to take on new burdens. It was going to cure all the problems. It was going to overthrow the rapacious rule of capitalism. And it was going to guarantee the fundamental freedoms promised by FDR, freedom from fear, freedom from want, and all the rest of this, right? This is LBJ's Great Society program. Government was now going to care for all of us. So that was movement number one. There was simultaneously a second movement, and that was a movement to fight racism in American life. Initially, an excellent, excellent movement, because it was, in fact, fighting racism in American life. It culminated in the Civil Rights Act, right? And all of that was good. And then, in the late 60s, the notion of racism itself began to transmute. Shelby Steele talks about this. The definition of racism began to move from people thinking of each other as inferior based on race or crafting policy in order to make another race worse off. And it shifted into something significantly more vague, something that didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, right? That was any inequality of outcome could be attributable to the system. The system was responsible for all inequality, and therefore the system itself was inequitable, and the system had to be torn down. This was a perspective first mouthed in the late 1960s by Stokely Carmichael, who at the time was the head it was before he was the head of the Black Panthers, actually. So Stokely Carmichael suggested institutional racism, right? The idea was that any institution that ended with inequality between groups was a racist institution. This could include things like freedom of speech. If freedom of speech ended with more inequality between black and white, then freedom of speech itself was a tool of the powerful against the oppressed, right? This is what Barack Obama is talking about in that little section of his memoir quoted earlier in The Atlantic, where he says there are people who believe that all the systems of the United States are basically a myth, a cover for oppression and power dynamics. And Barack Obama kind of believes that too. So that was a Stokely Carmichael point talking about the institutions of the United States. He had these two simultaneous movements, right? One was that government had the power to correct all the economic ills of the entire society and fix everything. And the second was that all of the institutions of government were themselves infused and infected with racism and bigotry and power dynamics and exploitation. Well, it turns out over the course of the subsequent 20 or 30 years, both of these narratives started to fall apart. More on that in just a second. But first, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider this. Call now 800-754-83. That is 800-754-83 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. So first of all, the narrative that government was capable of taking care of you through all circumstances and fixing all problems and solving inequality, it completely fell apart by the 1970s when the American economy started to collapse in on itself like a dying star. Right? It ended with the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980 after a decade of essentially complete economic stagnation between like the late 1960s and 1980. Pretty much complete economic stagnation. It ends with the Reagan Revolution, and that culminates in Bill Clinton, Democrat, claiming that the era of big government is essentially over. Right, so that was line number one from the left that falls apart. Then there's line number two from the left that falls apart. And that is that there is no way to overcome our racism in the United States. That what we have to do is we have to shift our thinking on racism so as to achieve equality of outcome. And this results in natural widening of gaps in the United States. It results in a slower growth of the black middle class. It results in serious crime problems because as the government starts to incentivize people to commit crimes, not punish crimes, you get this vast wave of crime, particularly in heavily minority areas that are disproportionately poor. And so by 1994, the Republicans and the Democrats are getting together and they are saying, okay, this is not working. We're going to need to actually crack down on crime. What if we just treated everybody as an individual? What if we treated everybody as an economic individual in charge of their own life, right? The era of big government is over. And what if we treated everybody as an individual in terms of personal responsibility? If you commit a crime, no matter what your race, you're going to go to jail, right? And if you are cheating welfare, we're not going to give you welfare. Welfare reform is now going to be a bipartisan thing in order to promote work, right? We're going to treat you as an individual. We're not going to treat you as a member of a group that is owed some sort of reparations by a perversion of the system. Right? So both of these twin narratives from the 60s have basically died by the early 1990s. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, they basically remain dead. right? Even throughout the Bush administration, the growth of government never really stops after 9/11, right? The growth of government really picks up and accelerates after 9/11. But the basic idea in Americans' minds that government can't solve all your problems, and also that people ought to be treated racially as individuals, right? Everybody should be treated as an individual. These basically become centralizing principles, and they exist in both parties. In 2008, Barack Obama runs on both those principles. And Barack Obama says we need change, right? Because it's the middle of a recession. We need change, fundamental change. But he doesn't define the change. And so people say, okay, well, he's sort of moderate, right? Joe Biden himself says he's the first guy that white people find non-threatening. And what he means by that is that he's not Jesse Jackson out there on the barricades shouting about how America is endemically racist, right? So Barack Obama comes along and he campaigns as basically blah, right? He campaigns as unity candidate who in his very personage is going to declare an end to the racial conflict that has plagued the country for so long, the nation's founding sin. He is going to alleviate that founding sin by allowing America to say, look how far we've come. Look what we've been able to accomplish. He comes in on the wings of eagles in 2008, blowing out John McCain, an actual war hero. And he comes in on the wings of having like 5 minutes of legislative experience and making one speech in 2004 at the DNC. That is his entire experience. Okay, so he comes in, and then what does he proceed to do? He proceeds to not only revivify both of the 1960s narratives, but to tie them together. Right, in his person, he proceeds to tie them together. Two narratives again: government can solve all your problems, and two, America, its systems are itself racist. And what he says is, government can only solve all of your problems if the right people are running the government, and also if you refuse to acknowledge that government can solve all of your problems, it's because you want the systems to remain racist and exploitative. And that's why Barack Obama can so easily shift into this language where he suggests, okay, guys, you know, if you oppose my agenda, it's because you're racist. It's because you don't like me personally. It's not that you reject the fundamental notion that government can solve all these problems. It's because you hate me. It's because you're in favor of exploitation. It's because you're in favor of racism. More on that in just a second. But first, it's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift that your friends and family will use every single day. I'm talking about Raycon wireless earbuds. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is amazing. It's comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycons start at half the price. This holiday season, get them something they can use for calls or music, for work or play, at home or on the go. Or pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're going to be using them every single day. Head on over to buyraycon.com/ben today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. I'll tell you, I like my Raycons because they fit my ear perfectly. Unlike the one-size-fits-all options that fall out of your ear, unlike the options that cost you a fortune, Raycons, they'll fit you perfectly. They come in a variety of colors. They're super cool, and they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Hurry. This offer is available only for a limited time. You don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/Ben to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, buyraycon.com/Ben to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. So in his memoir, Barack Obama makes this absolutely clear. This was always his campaign, right? This is what he did in 2012. He revivified those two dead narratives. He tied them together. He created a coalition out of it, the Coalition of the Ascendant. And then he won in 2012. And Democrats have been trying to remake that coalition ever since. And the problem is that Joe Biden actually campaigned in the same way that Obama did in 2008. But the coalition that he's relying upon is Barack Obama's 2012 coalition with a few add-ons. And the base is not Barack Obama's wide base of 2008. The base is still that core of 2012 from Barack Obama. And so he's going to be very hard-pressed to reject those people who made him and who are going to continue to support his agenda. This is why the radicals are in charge. So Barack Obama's memoir makes all of this perfectly clear, apparently. According to CNN, right, which has an early copy of this huge doorstopper, Obama writes, "It was as if my very presence in the White House had triggered a deep-seated panic, a sense that the natural order had been disrupted, which is exactly why Donald Trump understood when he started peddling assertions that I had not been born in the United States and was thus an illegitimate president. For millions of Americans spooked by a black man in the White House, he promised an elixir for their racial anxiety." Now, it's weird because Donald Trump switched a bunch of states that Barack Obama had won. Right? Barack Obama won Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. He won Florida. Donald Trump switched all of those. Or he flipped all of those. So were all those people not racist when Barack Obama was in office and then racist later? How did that happen exactly? But again, Barack Obama believes that anyone who opposes his agenda, right, the radical left agenda that says government can solve all your problems, government is the only thing we have in common, is what the DNC put up on its big board at the 2012 DNC. And if you don't believe that, it's because you hate Barack Obama. It's because you hate black people, according to Barack Obama. And he says this over and over and over. He says, quote, about Sarah Palin joining the ticket in 2008, quote, through Palin, it seemed as if the dark spirits that had long been lurking on the edges of the modern Republican Party, xenophobia, anti-intellectualism, paranoid conspiracy theories, and antipathy toward black and brown folks were finding their way to center stage. Again, Barack Obama identifying himself as America, and if you oppose Barack Obama, you oppose America, and namely, you really, really don't like black people, is what Barack Obama suggests. And he keeps suggesting it over and over and over. There are only two reasons, according to Barack Obama, to ever oppose Barack Obama. One is you were stupid, and the other one was you were racist. It could also be both. Right, so in 2010, after his party got shellacked, because it turns out Americans rejected Obamacare. They did not want Obamacare. Obama said, as far as I was concerned, the election didn't prove our agenda had been wrong. Shocker. It just proved that I'd failed to rally the nation, which to me was just as damning. Oh, it was just about how the American people were too stupid to understand what he was saying. Hey, Obama also says that the reason that he picked Joe Biden to go and negotiate with the Republicans, he literally says this, is because if he picked Joe Biden was white. And maybe he'd be able to get his agenda through. Maybe he'd be able to get his radical agenda through if he put a white face on it. Because again, the only reason to oppose the agenda was not because you opposed the agenda. The only reason to oppose the agenda is because you didn't like black people. He says, quote, one of the reasons I'd chosen Joe to act as an intermediary, in addition to his Senate experience and legislative acumen, was my awareness that in McConnell's mind, negotiations with the vice president didn't inflame the Republican base in quite the same way that any appearance of cooperation with black Muslim socialist Obama was bound to do. Okay, so again, the idea here is that Joe Biden was only picked because he was white, right? Because the American people are just a bunch of vicious, horrible racists. He talks about the Henry Louis Gates incident. He says the reaction to my comments on Gates, this Henry Louis Gates, where he said that the Cambridge police acted stupidly after arresting Gates after Gates refused to show ID. He says, my first indicator of how the issue of black folks and the police was more polarizing than just about any other subject in American life. Those feelings just continued during the rise of Palin and the Tea Party, Obama writes, recalling how Michelle Obama caught a glimpse of a Tea Party rally on TV. She seized the remote and turned off the set, her expression hovering somewhere between rage and resignation. It's a trip, isn't it, she said, that they're scared of you, scared of us. Again, that is what Barack Obama did to the country. Instead of us being able to hash out economic issues, instead of us arguing about the size and scope of government, instead of us acknowledging two basic truths, people should be treated as individuals on the economic level, and people should be treated as individuals without regard to race, Barack Obama reversed both of them, then tied them together. That is the Democratic Party. The reason this is important is not because of Barack Obama. It's because the Democratic Party is now built on that fused pillar. It is built on the graft between socialistic ideology and intersectional ideology. They've been tied together, and that is the root of the Democratic Party today. Democrats are not going to be able to escape this. They cannot run away from it. It was born in Barack Obama. It is not going to die with Barack Obama. It is now in the bloodstream, and it ain't going away. Okay, that ideology, that intersectional socialistic ideology, that is not going away. It has been revivified. And if you think that Joe Biden is going to be able to ignore it, I have serious doubts that he will be able to ignore that. Alrighty, coming up, I've got a story of wokeness that is just pretty incredible. We'll get to it in 1 second. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So how bad is the woke crowd these days? Well, they're intending on canceling everything they don't like. A couple of stories for you today. So apparently, remember, there were these law firms, and they had taken up the cause of Team Trump in Pennsylvania. A couple major law firms. One was Jones Day. The other is a big law firm called Porter Wright. And they were particularly intervening in one legal case in Pennsylvania, discussing, for example, the legal standards of voting in Pennsylvania. And this firm, Porter Wright, was hit by a wave of outrage from the left. The jackasses at the Lincoln Project, they decided to go after Jones Day. They also decided to go after Porter Wright and try and drive all sorts of angst inside the law firm. Well, now, Porter Wright has announced that they are withdrawing their support for Team Trump. According to Hot Air, after paying the law firm of Porter Wright nearly $750,000 to represent them in post-election issues, Team Trump got dumped by the first last night in Pennsylvania. That would be Porter Wright. And presumably elsewhere soon. Did they pull out over a conflict with their clients or because of political correctness and pressure? The timing on Porter Wright's move seems curious. The New York Times highlighted internal divisions and external pressures on Porter Wright and Jones Day over their participation in the election challenges yesterday. Here's the New York Times. Quote, doing business with Mr. Trump has long induced heartburn among lawyers, contractors, suppliers, and lenders. But the concerns are taking on new urgency as the president seeks to raise doubts about the election results. At Porter Wright Morrison Arthur, based in Columbus, Ohio, lawyers have held internal meetings to voice similar concerns about their firm's election-related work for Trump and the Republican Party. At least one lawyer quit in protest. So that means that they now dumped the client. This is all very good for the country, is to have businesses refusing to do business with people with whom they disagree. Excellent, excellent stuff. Meanwhile, Target has decided they are not going to allow on their website the marketing of Abigail Schreier's book. Abigail has been a guest on the program. And she's the author of the book Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. It's about rapid onset gender dysphoria and the unwillingness of the scientific community to even research the fact that you very often have a group of girls in which one girl decides she is transgender. And then within just a couple of months, many of the girls deciding they are transgender, which, of course, suggests not that they are suffering from gender identity disorder or gender dysphoria, but rather that there is an almost sort of craze that is taking place. Well, now Target was hit by one tweet, literally one tweet, of a person saying, why is this on sale via Target? And they canceled the ability to buy her book via Target. Abigail has a piece over at Quillette.com today talking about how Silicon Valley is basically now engaging in full-scale censorship. She says, in any case, every major newspaper and legacy magazine summarily turned interested journalists down. Whether they would have reviewed my book favorably or unfavorably, I have no idea. Kirkus, which reviews 10,000 titles per year, including self-published and obscure works, pretended my book didn't exist. Alternative media were the only people who would have Abigail Schreier on. Joe Rogan had her on. We had her on, obviously. But then, Rogan and Abigail Schreier were called transphobes by Media Matters and Men's Health. Spotify staff held 10 separate meetings in an attempt to mollify activist employees who demanded an editorial veto. Meanwhile, Silicon Valley has been creating an inability for Abigail Schreier to even get the word out. You're not allowed to advertise her book on Amazon.com, even though you're able to advertise basically any other left-wing piece that you wish to advertise on Amazon.com. The wokesters are in control of the institutions, and it is dangerous, dangerous stuff. It also leads to some patent absurdities. Anne Hathaway, the actress, she has now apologized to disabled members of the community for playing a character with three fingers. I'm not kidding. She's now apologizing to people who are disabled for playing a character who has three fingers. This is how stupid things have become. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by Mary Eberstadt. She's the author of a brand new book about how the real problem in America is lack of fathers. I think there's a lot of truth to this. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols.
And we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
Did you know that millions of people, many who are in vulnerable populations, are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion? And during a crisis like the pandemic, even more innocent people are at risk of falling victim to human trafficking.
Sometimes we all take true freedom for granted. Freedom to live our life.
The freedom to pursue our dreams.
The freedom to watch and play baseball.
But for far too many, basic freedom has been torn away, often violently and often targeting those most vulnerable among us.
That's why we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
And we're sending out an SOS, because freedom is worth fighting for.
Join us. Join baseball fans. Join the fight against human trafficking. Go to strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Mary Eberstadt. She is the author of a brand new book, Primal Screams, and also the article, The Fury of Fathers, Fatherlessness, in which she explores how divisive unrest in America is really not about systemic racism, but about something very different. Mary, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So let's talk about the fact that we now seem to be in an era of wild unrest. The last 7 months have seen a lot of street violence ranging from Antifa to Black Lives Matter riots. And, of course, there's a lot of worry about election unrest. And there's been a lot of talk in the media, of course, about how this is all the result of longstanding systemic racism, about how this is all the result of the deep inequity of all of the systems and institutions of the United States. In your book, Primal Screams, you talk about something else. You talk about the destruction of the family unit and the rise of the sexual revolution and identity politics. What exactly is causing all of this?
Well, first, we got to put a few numbers to this, Ben. Over the last few months, there have been over 10,000 incidents of what's called unrest, protests. 500 of those turned into riots. And what we have to understand is these are not politics as usual. These are not the regular protests. These mobs not only tore down Confederate statues, they tore down statues of town fathers, of Mahatma Gandhi, of anything that looked like a paternal authority figure. They disrupted families out eating dinner. They woke up families in the middle of the night in residential neighborhoods, shining flashlights and shouting. So this is not what we usually think about when we think about legitimate protests. My thesis is that we are witnessing a social breakdown in which people who are increasingly disconnected from real families and real communities, like religious communities, are expressing resentment and fury at other people who have these things. And I think this is something new on the scene. 60 years of rising fatherlessness and declining religion and declining patriotism have left many people severely disconnected from the usual building blocks of identity. And I think that's what we've been seeing in the streets of America.
So to quantify this a little bit, if you look at Europe, obviously, there are very high levels of secularism. If you look in Northern Europe, particularly, very high levels of single motherhood. We don't seem to see the same kind of street-level violence, or do we? Is America unique in this respect, and if so, why?
I think we're more disconnected than they are because I think fatherlessness is more concentrated in the United States. And it's not as if we don't know this. We've been hearing for 60 years from sociologists that fatherlessness is a problem that leads to a lot of adverse outcomes. To name just one example, the gang problem in inner cities, it is well documented, is pretty much a daddy problem. Kids who come from intact homes, even if they live in bad neighborhoods, rarely join street gangs. So I think we're seeing, especially in our inner cities, that the United States has reached a point where we can't ignore this problem anymore, and we have to figure out ways of dealing with it.
We're speaking with Mary Eberstadt, the author of Primal Scream. So, Mary, one of the things that's been fascinating to watch over the past few years is a shift from a basic common ground acceptance that fathers were necessary in the home to a new argument, which is that even the social standard by which we expect fathers to be in the home is in and of itself systemic racism. This is an argument that's been made by Robin DiAngelo or Ibram Kendi. Their basic supposition is that any inequality is attributable in the end to systemic inequity. The system itself is corrupt. That even asking for there to be fathers in the home is just because the system was designed in a way by white people or by exploiters in order to require things that simply don't need to be. In an ideal system, you could have a variety of different types of family units. They would all work similarly. And that the inputs of family unit would not actually lead to particular outputs. What do you make of that argument? Why has it shifted?
Well, I think it's really sad, Ben. I think it's a kind of preemptive capitulation. It's a kind of giving up on the idea that anything can ever be better. And I don't think we should go down that road. I do think that we should have some empathy with the protesters out there, with all of these dispossessed, disconnected young people who literally don't know who they are because they've been deprived of the paternal principle, not only literally in the home, but also in communities like religious communities and other places where they could once attach and learn how to be productive members of society. So we need some empathy, but we also need to understand that they are not victims in the way that they think they're victims. They're victims of something else, which are the massive social changes that the United States has undergone since the sexual revolution.
I'm assuming Mary Eberstadt, her book is Primal Screams. So what exactly did happen? Because if you look back to the early 20th century, the rates of marriage in the black community were actually higher than the rates of marriage in the white community. Even if you look back to the early 60s, only about 20% of kids who were born in black families were born into single-parent households. Now it is in excess of 70%. The idea from the left seems to be that racism actually got worse, that it went underground, it got worse, it got more subtle, and thus that rise in single motherhood can actually be blamed on racist substructures. But what is the reason why single motherhood has been rising, not just among black families, but among white families? Over 40% of white kids are born without a father in the home now.
Well, right. It's not just a black thing. I mean, short answer is that the birth control pill came along in the early 1960s, and most of humanity decided to have a big party over it and didn't understand that far from being a marriage strengthener, the embrace of the pill would lead to widespread family breakup, soaring rates of abortion eventually, and single-parent homes. Now, in fairness, this wasn't well understood in the beginning, but after 60 years of social science, we can see very clearly in retrospect that a lot of the fallout of the sexual revolution has been negative, and it's fallen hardest on the youngest and most vulnerable and most bereft. And that's what I'm trying to bring out in my writing, is that the consequences to the young have been particularly steep and need to be addressed. There's a lot of suffering out there because of this.
There's a certain bizarre paternalism, Mary, that exists, particularly in the media and Hollywood sphere, whereby the people who are the sort of elite in terms of earning capacity in our society, they tut-tut these moral standards while still abiding by them. This is a point that Charles Murray has made in Coming Apart, is the basic idea that you have a lot of people who are at the top of the economic ladder who will say that family structure is not necessary, and then they'll proceed to engage in exactly the sort of family structure that is required as a prerequisite for success in life. Meanwhile, people who are worse off are taking that stuff seriously, and they are not forming family units and thus passing down intergenerational poverty. What is motivating that, and how do we break the cycle?
Well, there is a lot of duplicity out there, as you point out. There's a lot of hypocrisy. And I think also the whole canard about racism is an attempt to evade the actual problem that we're facing out there. I mean, America is not a racist country. It's a beacon for immigrants of every color. Our churches, our military are very integrated. You know, the overwhelming majority of people are indifferent or enthusiastic about intermarriage. So I think the reason the racism argument has center stage is that it's easier to deal with, you know, it's easier to virtue signal about than the actual problem, which is that we have people who can't fit into society because they haven't learned the basics of human identity. They haven't learned how to be a productive family member because they're coming from fractured families. They haven't learned how to behave in the public square because they don't have the example before them of church leaders, paternal leaders, showing them what to do. So we have to understand, Ben, that some of these problems are beyond politics and have to be worked at on the very grassroots kind of level, in the churches and other houses of worship in particular.
So we're speaking with Mary Eberstadt. Her book is Primal Screams. In some of your previous writing, you've talked about the decline of religion in the United States. So which do you think came first, the decline of religion or the family unit? Because they seem to be pretty well intertwined. A lot of theorists and philosophers have suggested that the increased secularization of the West sort of set the soft groundwork for when the pill came into being. The sexual revolution, a lot of people have suggested the reverse. It was the sexual revolution that undermined the capacity for religion to even hem it in. Which do you think is which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which sort of begs the second question, which is how do we restore any semblance of family normalcy?
Yeah, the two things are impossible to separate, the decline of the family and the decline of organized religion. And it's a fascinating relationship because it looks like having some idea of an earthly father might help you to have some idea of a supernatural father and vice versa. In other words, these things are related, and they're related historically, Ben. If you look at places with declining families, you find places with declining religion. Example, Scandinavia, which pioneered the single-parent home in the West, is also the place with the least organized religion in the entire Western world. So these things are clearly related at the root, and what that means is that you can't restore one without restoring the other. And so as a matter of politics, I think we are overdue for looking at grassroots efforts to make marriage easier and more lucrative, make child rearing and childbearing easier and more lucrative. We need a lot of grassroots experimentation, I think, but those are the first steps toward a restoration.
Mary Eberstadt, author of Primal Screams, go pick up a copy of the book right now. Mary, really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
In just 1 second, we'll be joined by Dan Blumenthal. He's director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. We'll be talking about Donald Trump's China policy and will it be carried forward if, in fact, Joe Biden does end up occupying the Oval Office. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let us talk about the fact that you want to make sure that your house is safe and secure. You also want to make sure your kids are safe and secure. I have a bunch of kids who are under the age of 7. They're constantly running around trying to hurt each other and themselves, but I can't keep an eye on all of them all the time. So not only do I want to keep an eye on the exterior of my home, I also want to make sure that I can keep an eye on my kids, you know, and that is why I have Ring devices. Ring has security products for every corner of your home, inside and out. Best of all, you can see it all in one simple app. With Ring, you can keep an eye on your home no matter where you are, right from your phone. If someone stops by or something is going on, Ring will let you know. It's peace of mind anytime knowing your home is protected. Whatever you call home, Ring has everything you need to protect it. See and speak to whomever is at your door from anywhere with video doorbells. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. Protect your whole home with Ring Alarm, a powerful, affordable whole-home security system you can easily install yourself. I've been using Ring for years. I have significant safety concerns as well as concerns about my kids, so I really care about having Ring devices on my house. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit at ring.com/Shapiro. It comes with Ring's Video Doorbell 3 and the Chime Pro, the perfect way to start that Ring experience, plus free 2-day shipping. Go to ring.com/Shapiro. Again, that is ring.com/Shapiro for the special deal. All right, well, one thing we know is that President Trump's China policy has been significantly more successful than his predecessors. His predecessor simply refused to acknowledge that China was a serious threat to the United States. Trump changed the math on that. Well, now that it appears that the votes have gone the wrong way for President Trump in a variety of states, and we are now waiting the outcome of legal appeals. If, in fact, Joe Biden does become president-elect of the United States when the states certify their votes, well, what will China policy look like in the future? Is he going to reverse the progress we've made in trying to hem in the Chinese? Will he be making additional concessions to the Chinese government? Here to discuss all that will be Dan Blumenthal, director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Stick around for that. Also, we'll be giving you updates on the latest in election 2020 as these legal challenges move forward. We also have news that some law firms have been dropping out of the Trump legal challenges, not because they don't like the claims, but because they're sick of the blowback. We'll get to that, too. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple...
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
List for patients in need in your community. I'm asking fellow dentists who will join me in seeing one patient per year.
To learn more, visit willyouseeone.org, furnished by Dental Lifeline Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Dan Blumenthal. He's director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. He's also author of the forthcoming book, The China Nightmare, The Grand Ambitions of a Decaying State. It comes out November 17th. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk, first of all, about what China actually has been attempting to do on the world stage. It's been described, the country, in a variety of ways. It's been described as a communist state. It's been described as a sort of authoritarian state capitalism model. One thing seems pretty clear. They have expansionist ambitions, whether it's through Belt and Road programs that are economically driven or whether it's through actual military takeovers or takeovers of free states like Hong Kong. What exactly is the end goal of the Chinese regime?
They want to be the central player in the international global order. They want to diminish U.S. influence. They want us to be at least number two to their number one. They want to set the rules of the international system in a more authoritarian fashion. They want to create a sphere of influence where their military and economic power dominate in the Asia Pacific and increasingly in other critical parts of the world. So reshaping the global order, a grand, grand ambitions.
So let's talk for a second about what American policy toward China has looked like historically. So for a long time, the supposition of the United States, really since the Nixon era, is that opening up China and having more capitalistic enterprises with China was going to open up the government. As it turns out, ideology does, in fact, predominate over economics very often. And that's clearly been the case in China, which has become revanchist. I mean, they've actually restored a lot of the authoritarianism that seemed to be waning a little bit during the era of Xi Jinping. They've restored that and they've strengthened it. So talk a little bit about America's historic policy toward China and then what President Trump changed there.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. So the historic policy since Nixon opened up to China in the late 1960s, 1970s, has been to welcome China into the world system, to help China become more capitalistic, to economically liberalize. And the thought was that if China is accepted into this international system, that the U.S. and the West dominates, it will have no choice but to change. It will become, its ambitions will be tamed. Its competitive view and its view of the United States as a threat will disappear. And this policy continued in various stages throughout the 1990s. The Clinton administration pushed hard to get China into a lot of international organizations, the World Trade Organization. So did the Bush administration. And throughout the Obama administration really focused on, well, let's look for issues that we could work on together, like climate change, like nonproliferation. Of course, China never cooperated with any of those initiatives, but we constantly were trying to make concessions to keep the engagement policy alive. And the idea, of course, was that China would change, not just in, become a more democratic country, but also become more in line with our own national interests. President Trump really changed the terms of the debate. So we are now debating China on President Trump's terms. So he viewed it in his gut viscerally as an economic threat that had hurt American workers. He viewed it as a country that was cheating economically, which it was. All administrations had agreed, but just didn't do anything about it. And then his lieutenants, his main advisors who were more geopolitically minded, viewed it as a strategic rival that we need to push back on, not just economically, but in terms of its territorial aggrandizement, its human rights policies, its coercion of Taiwan. We've done very well in terms of improving our relations with Taiwan. So a president-elect Biden, if that's the outcome, which it seems to be, will be inheriting this policy, likely not jettisoning it the way he's talking, because it's just locked in, and it's now viewed by the vast majority of Americans as well as vast majority of politicians and policymakers as a threat to the United States.
Well, one of the things that's been so amazing is if you talk to Democrats behind the scenes, they will very often express actual gratitude to the Trump administration for changing the nature of the conversation about China. And then they'll go out publicly and talk about how Trump has, of course, undermined American foreign policy. Your suggestion seems to be that Biden is sort of doing the same thing here. Now, he has refused in open debate to acknowledge that China is an enemy or really even an opponent. But you think that a president-elect Biden would actually be forced, sort of compelled by circumstance, to take on China as more of an opponent than as what he has called a competitor?
Well, I think Trump has done so much to change not just the way people talk about China. It's now become okay for politicians to call it what it is, a strategic competitor. But also Trump's policies have locked us into a certain approach to China that treats it as a rival and competitor. It would be very difficult, even if Biden wanted to reverse all that. I don't think he particularly wants to. I think that there'll be changes around the margins, sometimes significant. He certainly has talked about more cooperation with China on issues of climate change, on issues of the pandemic and public health. The one area where Democrats, I agree with you, they absolutely up on Capitol Hill are thankful that the conversation has changed so much, and they too can be tough on China in their rhetoric. The one area I think that's really going to hurt us is Democrats have not, for political reasons, they have not acknowledged to near the same extent Republicans have China's responsibility for this pandemic, this plague. And one fear, of course, is if Biden goes ahead and says, let's cooperate on public health, China will be off the hook on its responsibilities for this awful plight we're facing with the pandemic.
Dan Blumenthal, Director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. One concern I have is broader than just China, which is the Biden, an incoming Biden administration, if that materializes, which, looking at the facts on the ground is likely. If Biden were to become president, one thing that he obviously would want to do is cut the military. Every Democrat of my lifetime has wanted to cut the military. What would that do for our relations with China?
Well, that is definitely coming. The spending plans that are in the works, hopefully because it looks like the Senate is going to be Republican, they'll mitigate some of the damage, but defense cuts are coming, and that's been signaled and stated. That's going to hurt us. That's going to hurt us really badly. So the U.S. military has been quite open in saying that if current trends continue, we could possibly lose a war to China over Taiwan or other allies or partners that we're committed to or other national interests. It's a big deal. And in terms of working with allies, credibility of our alliance systems, credibility of our own forces to protect our own homeland and our own interests, defense cuts are coming, and it's really going to hurt. I can't sort of overstate it. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt our ability to operate with the Chinese military that just has gotten so powerful and lethal.
Well, Dan Blumenthal, Director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. His book is The China Nightmare, The Grand Ambitions of a Decaying State. Appreciate your time, Dan.
Thank you so much.
All righty, coming up, we'll bring you all the election updates. As always, this is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Tropical storm Iota forming in the Caribbean, likely to strengthen into a major hurricane as it approaches Central America. Forecasters say the storm could wreak havoc in a region where people are still grappling with more than 120 deaths in the aftermath of Hurricane Eta. National Hurricane Center says the storm could slam Nicaragua and Honduras by Sunday night. It is the 30th named storm of this year's record-breaking season. Hopes for an end-of-the-year coronavirus relief deal off to a rocky start, raising questions about the chances for an agreement before January. More on that story from Bernie Bennett.
Lawmakers in both parties said that they want a deal, but they have just a few weeks to get one. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer says the starting point on any agreement should be the $2.2 trillion coronavirus bill passed by the House in October. Senate Republicans are digging in on a roughly $500 billion figure that they previously coalesced behind. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned that the U.S. economy will likely need further support from Congress and the central bank, even if a coronavirus vaccine becomes available by the end of the year. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Also at townhall.com, President Trump touting the rapid progress toward a vaccine.
The president said the effort to develop a vaccine and treatments for COVID-19 has been incredible.
Operation Warp Speed is unequaled and unrivaled anywhere in the world.
Appearing in the Rose Garden, he said a vaccine could be available to the general public as soon as April.
Millions of doses will soon be going out the door. They're all ready, waiting for that final approval.
Vice President Pence added that with cases surging nationwide, the government is meeting hospital requests for personal protective equipment. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Major gains on Wall Street this week. All indexes up more than 1%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit Linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
A judge denying bond for the two men charged with murdering Ahmaud Arbery.
In denying bond, Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley referred to concerns over racist messages sent by Travis McMichael and possible attempts to influence the case by former police officer Greg McMichael. He says he's concerned the two men took the law into their own hands. Defense attorneys for the McMichaels had argued that they wouldn't flee or pose a threat of further violence. Gregory McMichael's defense attorney, Laura Hogue.
A life well lived
of service to his community.
Prosecutors say the McMichaels acted as vigilantes and were motivated by racist views. They showed the judge photos of a home near the shooting scene that was damaged by gunfire. Prosecutor Jesse Evans.
These defendants, Greg and Travis McMichael, are a danger to person, property, and the community.
Major move by General Motors. The automaker will recall 69,000 Chevrolet Bolt electric cars worldwide because batteries have caught fire. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. SpaceX delaying its second astronaut flight by a day because of weather.
Looking at the weather and also looking at recovery of the booster for this flight, we have adjusted the launch date. We were targeting a Saturday launch. We've adjusted the launch date 24 hours later, and today we're targeting a Sunday launch at 7:27 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll put docking on Monday at about 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
That's Commercial Crew Program Manager Steve Stitch. Federal regulators have fined the nation's largest public utility, Tennessee Valley Authority, more than $900,000. The government says the utility violated procedures during the startup of a Tennessee nuclear reactor and subsequently misled a number of investigators. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing. Wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
Georgia's insurmountable. Right now, in the count, Joe Biden is up by about 14,000 votes in Georgia. Stacey Abrams lost her gubernatorial race by 50,000 votes. Okay, so a multiple of 15. But apparently, she's governor of Georgia, and Joe Biden won Georgia. It seems like I don't think she's an honest person, Stacey Abrams. I'm just going to put that out there. Here's Stacey Abrams explaining that the race is over in Georgia, but it never ended for governor.
We don't know how long it's going to take, but we are absolutely certain that this lead is insurmountable. It is absolute. And Joe Biden won Georgia. The reality is they have the right to follow the law, and the law permits this type of behavior. And during my election in 2018, we fought through the courts to make sure every vote got counted. Sadly, they just want to do a recount of what we already accomplished, and I wish them well, but we know that Joe Biden is going to be not only the president of the United States, but the first president in 30 years from the Democratic Party to carry Georgia.
Wow. Amazing how she knows all those things, but she doesn't know it about her own race. So that's sad. I mean, happy for her, but I think sad for the truth. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, he's out there declaring that Republicans are threatening democracy. This is Captain. Let's get rid of the filibuster, add states to the Senate, maybe pack the Supreme Court. This guy has held up a COVID relief package in the middle of a pandemic, and we are supposed to hear from him about how he believes Republicans are threatening democracy by not acknowledging a non-certified election result.
instead of working to pull the country back together so that we can fight our common enemy, COVID-19, Republicans in Congress are spreading conspiracy theories, denying reality, and poisoning the well of our democracy. The Republicans should stop their shenanigans about an election that President Trump has already lost and focus their attention on the immediate issue at hand, providing relief to a country living through the COVID health and economic crisis.
Okay, so literally Nancy Pelosi is holding up the relief bill. Steve Mnuchin basically went to her hat in hand, was like, what do you want? She's like, I don't want to talk about any of this. Teeth are clacking, Nancy Pelosi. Chuck Schumer saying that the institutions of our democracy are being undermined. Let's just note that Democrats have no problem ever undermining the institutions of our democracy. They don't like those institutions. Seth Meyers, the idiot comedian, yesterday he was like, democracy, democracy, it's being threatened. So let's get rid of the Electoral College. Wait, what's up now? So you don't like that the institutions are threatened, so you want to dynamite the institutions is what you are telling me, Seth Meyers.
It's not a good situation when you have one political party committed to democracy no matter the outcome and the other opposed to democracy at all costs. Even if this ridiculous coup attempt fails, it doesn't bode well for the future, which is why we need bold systemic reforms to empower everyone to vote and honor what the majority of voters actually want, like abolishing the Electoral College and
okay,
fixing
yeah,
the
Okay, enough of this nonsense. I mean, honestly, what an idiot. I love this. Even if this doesn't threaten the institutions of our democracy, the only way to protect the institutions of our democracy is to completely blow them up. Oh, okay, makes perfect sense. So what I'm getting from this is you want to burn the village in order to save the village. That's what I'm getting from you here, Seth Meyers. That wasn't even the worst example of Democratic hypocrisy on this sort of stuff, because, again, it appears that for Democrats, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, shopping for home and auto insurance. It's something you need, but it can seem pretty daunting. Protecting the things you've worked for is pretty important. The trick is knowing where to find the right coverage at the best possible price. Well, that's why Policy Genius makes it easy. They combine a cutting-edge insurance marketplace with help from licensed experts to save you time and save you money. Policy Genius saves their home and auto customers an average of $1,000 per year by reshopping their rates. Here's how it works. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius does the rest. They'll compare rates from over 30 top insurers from Progressive to Nationwide to find the lowest quotes. Their licensed experts will then look at all the ways to maximize your savings, including bundling your home and auto policies. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll get you switched over for free. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So, if you are a homeowner, head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. They save their home and auto insurance customers an average of $1,000 per year by reshopping. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. They don't just do home and auto. They'll also do disability, life insurance, like any insurance you could need. Check it out at PolicyGenius.com right now. Alrighty, so I think the best example of a Democratic hypocrisy maybe that I've ever seen. Adam Schiff was on, I believe, CNN because, of course, or it was MSNBC rather, because he has a pup tent set out over at MSNBC, but he hasn't had to use it. Lately, he can just Skype in. So he's on MSNBC, and he actually, I'm not kidding, said on national television that Republicans should definitely not, under any circumstances, investigate the Biden administration because it would be bad for democracy. That's Adam Schiff. Okay, Captain Donald Trump is a Russian stooge. Captain, right behind this curtain is all the evidence that Donald Trump's P tape is real. Captain, Vladimir Putin is hiding under my bed. This guy is like, you know what would be bad? Is if we saddled the incoming administration with a bunch of investigations. I get the feeling that they're hypocrites and that they don't care about any standard of consistency or truth. Here's Adam Schiff being ridiculous.
It is just tearing down our democracy. I do expect in the new Congress that, yes, they'll continue to try to go after Joe Biden, delegitimize Joe Biden. They won't be interested in getting things done because they'll feel, particularly Kevin McCarthy in the House, that if we govern well, then it impedes their ability to change the majority in the House.
Unreal. I love it. I love it. So investigations are bad. Again, guys, that's exciting. Weird how that just switched over immediately. Now, listen, we all know what this is really about, right? We all know what all of this is about. What this is about is a democratic attempt to gain power because it's all about power. It is not about principle. It's not about whether investigations hamper a president or whether it's bad to acknowledge the results of an election before all of the results are certified. It's not about any of that. It is just about trying to castigate your political opponent as evil. That is all that matters for the left. is about not living with us. This is why when Joe Biden gave his quasi-victory speech, in which he declared that he wanted unity, all I could think was, you guys didn't want unity 5 seconds ago, and you don't want unity now. What you want is for everybody you disagree with to shut up. That is your actual goal. Your actual goal is not, it has nothing to do with Trump, because Trump's either going to stay or he's going to go. He's either going to stay if he is legally elected president, or he's not going to stay if he is legally not elected president. What you actually want is just to use every tool in your arsenal to castigate people you disagree with as evil and nasty and no good and very bad. It's true for literally every topic, from COVID to elections. And for example, Chris Hayes has completely lost his mind. I mean, really lost it. So Chris Hayes tweeted out a little bit earlier today with regard to COVID. We are all human beings with people we love that we want to see. But increasingly, the entire Republican Party has basically taken the side of the virus and are actively trying to spread it. Hey, does anyone really believe that Republicans all over the country want to kill grandma? But remember, they've been claiming we wanted to kill grandma since like day one. If you pointed out the differences in death rates among age groups, they said you wanted to kill grandma. I trended on Twitter for pointing out that elderly people are more likely to die than people who are young, and that elderly people are more likely to die from everything than people who are young, and I trended on Twitter for that. Because again, the point is the hate. It is not that they want anything that benefits the country. It's that they want to divide because they believe that in division lies victory. Well, the good news about the last election cycle is it showed that it wasn't true. Democrats tried to campaign on this stuff harder than they've campaigned on it in my lifetime. And except for the presidential race, they did extraordinarily poorly. My hope is that that continues. All right, coming up in short order, we're going to be talking with an expert on voter fraud and voter regularity about the status of the Trump campaign's lawsuits. First, let's talk about your internet freedom. So social media companies, they've been deciding what they want you to see and what they don't want you to see. They've been suppressing information, and then they've been taking your data and monetizing it to actually allow them to make money off of you to then suppress the dissemination of information that you want. So why would you give them that ability? Instead, check out ExpressVPN. The problem with big tech companies, not only do they censor what you read, they track what you do online. They track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They use that data to serve you ads that can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, the tech companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. If that sounds complicated, it really shouldn't, because it's easy. 1 minute, set it up on your computer or phone, tap a button, you're protected. So, why give the tech bros a free license to know everything about you and sell off your data and then use it to subsidize their own politics? Instead, take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit the special link. You get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Who doesn't like to save money? Go check them out. expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben to protect your data today. And the entire Democratic agenda is all about castigating you, the American people, anybody who disagrees with them as evil and bad and no good and thus to be destroyed. Already coming up, we're going to be discussing the status of election 2020 with a nonpartisan expert in voter fraud and voter irregularity, and we'll see where they think this race stands. What are President Trump's chances of being able to overturn results in places like Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia? A little bit later on, we'll also be joined by Dr. Kanta Ahmed to talk about the radical uptick in COVID across the country and what you should do to protect yourself and your family. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts and conflict in crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Lisa Dixon. She's executive director of the Lawyers Democracy Fund, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization promoting election integrity. Lisa, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Ben.
So why don't we run down a little bit what exactly Team Trump is alleging in various states, obviously to overturn the results of the election, at least in the current vote count, in places like Michigan or Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia. He would need to take Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia in order to win the election. He would have to demonstrate voter fraud that amounts to the difference in the vote counts right now in states where he's down in Pennsylvania tens of thousands of votes, in Arizona and Georgia by somewhere between 10 and 15,000 votes in each state. What do you think are the chances of success for Team Trump in the various litigation strategies they've been employing in these states?
And quite frankly, the chances of overturning the election results in the number of states he would need are quite low. As you noted, the vote differential is in the tens of thousands. We're not talking about hundreds of votes or even thousands of votes. It's tens of thousands of votes. And so a court would have to find really widespread proof of fraud to even consider throwing out that many votes or calling for a new election. So the Trump campaign is asserting things like their observers were obstructed from viewing the processing of ballots or from viewing the processing of absentee ballots. And it seems like in places like Michigan, especially in the Detroit area, that's really true. There were some serious problems with observers being kept out of the process. Now, is a court going to look at that and say, we're going to throw out all these votes that were processed while there were not observers present as authorized by law? Probably not. A court's not going to say, because election officials didn't do what they're supposed to do, all these people are disenfranchised. That's just not going to happen. So even though there were serious problems that the Trump campaign is talking about in their lawsuits, it's probably not going to result in the election being thrown out.
So let's talk about what exactly could result from some of these election lawsuits, because regardless of the impact on the election, there could be some good effects going forward in terms of changing some of the electoral procedures in these particular areas. Obviously, in Pennsylvania, we saw the state Supreme Court basically disregard the will of the legislature and statute and simply rewrite election law. We've also seen Democrats across the country filing lawsuits to get rid of things like signature comparisons or on behalf of ballot harvesting. What do you think the possibility of changing the law is, and should that really be initiated by the legislature, or is it going to be defended by the judiciary?
Well, that's what's really what could come out of these lawsuits that's really important and could be important for the future of the country, is that what these lawsuits can show is they can show what went wrong this year and what resulted in all the rumors that have been swirling over the past week. We don't want that after an election. And if an election has so many irregularities that people are seriously doubting the validity of the election, that's not good for our republic, for the sake of our country, for anything in our political process. So if these lawsuits can provide evidence of what exactly went wrong, whether it's keeping observers out, counties not following the law like happened in Pennsylvania, counties were it's pretty clear that counties were enforcing the law differently in some places. That kind of thing we don't want happening in our elections. And as you noted, there's been a push by the left all year to systematically undermine the election safeguards that are in place, especially for absentee ballots. So after all of the information about this election comes out, state legislatures can go back and take a serious look at the election procedures in their state and try to figure out how they can make them better and strengthen their, whether it's their signature match laws, their laws about observing the process, things like that. And it should definitely be the state legislatures making those decisions. The legislative body is what's supposed to make policy in our country, not courts, not even executive branch officials who are charged with enforcing the law. So it's really important that state legislatures take a serious look at what happened this year and figure out what they can do to make the process better to give the public more confidence in it.
We're speaking to Lisa Dixon, executive director of the Lawyers Democracy Fund. So, Lisa, there's been a lot of focus on mail-in voting, and universal mail-in voting particularly. It's one thing for people to request a mail-in ballot because they're afraid of going to the polling places because of COVID or because they're in some way handicapped and require the ballot be sent to their home. It's another for the state to just send in willy-nilly mail-in ballots to literally everybody they have on their rolls, particularly since these rolls are very often wildly outdated. I moved to Florida. I voted in Florida. My old address in California still received ballots. I mean, there is always the theoretical possibility somebody just stops by the mailbox, picks it up, forges the vote, and then files it. Tucker Carlson last night on his show was literally reading the names of dead people who had voted in the last election cycle. What do you make of the possibility of voter fraud or voter irregularity when it comes to universal mail-in balloting?
Well, as you noted, it's really important if any state is going to move towards a universal mail-in system that they seriously clean up their voter rolls ahead of doing that. That's one thing that states like Washington, it took them years to implement their universal mail-in system. And part of that process was they seriously cleaned up their voter rolls to try to make them as accurate as possible. Whereas states like California and Nevada this year that basically switched overnight to a universal mail-in system, they didn't take any steps to clean up their rolls. And both of those states have documented, quite frankly, terrible voter rolls. They have a lot of inaccuracies. And so when you start mailing live ballots to everyone, whether they request them or not, you end up with the sorts of things we've seen, like receiving a ballot at your old address with piles of ballots in trash bins and things like that. And not only does that present the actual opportunity for people to fraudulently vote a ballot, and it's really hard to detect because it's a person who's on the voter rolls who received a ballot and voted it, even if that person is dead or has moved out of state, it affects the appearance of validity of the election. So people don't have as much confidence in the election if you see ballots, a pile of ballots in an apartment building by the mailboxes.
So let's talk for just a second about some of the voter irregularities that you've seen in this election. We've heard that this is the cleanest election ever run by a variety of officials. You've heard from the media that there was no voter fraud and there was no voter irregularity in this election. What do you make overall of how the election was run? Obviously, in a country with 150 million voters, you're going to get some voter fraud and some voter irregularity, but we've seen these sort of binary claims. On the one hand, people saying hundreds of thousands of votes were changed. And on the other hand, we've seen people saying literally no voter fraud occurred anywhere in the country and we should just stop worrying about it. Oddly enough, these two positions seem to have changed sides since about a month ago. But what do you make of how this election actually went?
So overall, it actually went really smoothly, especially that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Election officials overall did a really good job adapting to the current challenges and making sure that especially in-person voting went smoothly for voters. So I think that's a victory for the integrity of elections in our country. But there are also there were definitely some serious problems, especially with mail-in ballots, particularly in those states that rushed to a universal mail-in system. That demonstrated a lot of the problems with not taking that process very seriously. The things we're just talking about, piles of ballots being delivered that to people who no longer live there and things like that. We also saw some irregularities in the polling places. There were allegations that, you know, machine switching votes and things like that. We see those allegations every year, and, you know, it's probably just a machine malfunction, not actually something nefarious going on. But most of the problems we saw this year were with the mail-in ballots, and whether it was on the front end with them being sent out to people who didn't request them, or on the back end with processing and not following the proper procedures. But overall, the election did actually run really smoothly. It's just been, especially in these key states that everyone's focusing on right now, that there were definitely some problems, but it's not the hundreds of thousands of votes probably that people are talking about. But again, it's also incredibly hard to detect voter fraud, and also incredibly hard to prove it in court to the satisfaction of a court. So that's something we always have to keep in mind when we're talking about this. There are probably many instances of undetected fraud, and it has to be someone making a huge mistake or some oddity in the statistics for people to actually detect it.
Well, Lisa Dixon, Executive Director of Lawyers Democracy Fund, appreciate your time and appreciate your insights.
Thank you very much, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Dr. Kanta Ahmed, Senior Fellow at the Independence Women's Forum. She treated COVID-19 patients at NYU Langone. First time around, she's going to give us the update of where we stand on COVID. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the craze you'll crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopped pecans. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. Quick and Clean All-Cloth Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9. Or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy 5 car wash packages and get 1 free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and clean all-cloth car wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Bureau. Call Coach One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coach One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coach One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coach One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Dr. Kanta Ahmed, Senior Fellow, Independent Women's Forum. She's a pulmonologist who has treated COVID-19 patients at NYU Langone. Senior Fellow, of course, at Independent Women's Forum. So, Dr. Ahmed, thanks so much for joining the show. I want to start by asking you about, obviously, this major spike that we are seeing across the country. It seems to be hitting harder areas that were not originally hit quite as hard. So we are seeing an uptick in places like New York City that's significant and worrisome. But it seems like it's mostly hitting the areas that are already very cold and the areas that were not hitting quite as hard the first time. So it seems like in many of these places, it's not actually a second wave. It's a first wave.
Right. And it's, in fact, people are referring to it as in the Sun Belt area. It's in the Dakotas. It's in it's also rising again in California, as well as here in the East Coast. It's overwhelming. Even as a physician that's been watching this since the beginning, the numbers are just so inconceivable. I feel they often have a paralyzing effect and we're not able to think objectively about it. The major concern, of course, they're twofold. One is that about 3 weeks after we see the numbers rising, we will see a rise in deaths related to COVID-19, though, of course, not at the level that we saw in New York because there are so many therapeutics. People now are visiting doctors in their offices and immediately getting Decadron, the oral steroid, and Remdesivir. And so that means that we're seeing people with less severe disease in the hospital than we used to, but hospitalization rates are also up. But against these escalating numbers is the incredible breakthrough news about the Pfizer vaccine, which is the first horse off the block in this race. And I think that will be a game changer. In New York this morning, I'm just hearing from colleagues and reading that New York City school system, the largest in the country, is very close to being closed down again. Students in New York at the moment can learn via hybrid model. Teachers are being forewarned that children may not come back after Thanksgiving until sometime to be determined in 2021. And, of course, we're seeing limitations on businesses in New Jersey and probably in New York soon. So it's very grim.
So let's talk about the school shutdowns and some of the lockdown policies that are being pursued. So school shutdowns, it seems to me that there's very little case for shutting down schools, particularly for kids who are under the age of 10. We've had schools that have been open throughout the world, throughout the pandemic, and they're just not chief sources of transmission. There are kids who are, you know, obviously getting this thing, but the death rates on this thing are significantly lower than the flu for people who are under the age of 20. There's always the possibility those kids go home and infect grandma or grandpa, but that seems like more of a case for not having grandma and grandpa over than for shutting down the schools.
You know, I'm with you about this dilemma concerning the schools. Most countries around the world have prioritized in-person school attendance as a keystone of the most important thing in a country. Now, speaking to my friends in the Middle East, where they're also seeing a wave children are studying virtually. The prevalence inside schools in New York that I've read is about 0.15% in the school children. The mayor of New York, Mayor de Blasio, has stated if the prevalence in New York City generally rises above 3%, he's going to close down the schools. But that number is fairly arbitrary. And the risk really comes not from the children or to the children so much, other than the adults that are working in the children or coming to and from their homes into the school, and therefore the school could act as a hub. But I think the risk and benefit may need to be carefully weighed, because these children are now getting into almost a full year of not studying, no social interactions, and disadvantaged children eat at school and have some social support, or maybe even very critical support in terms of speech and language therapy or other social services that they need. So I'm very concerned about the low threshold of shutting down the schools. So if I was the mayor of New York, it's a definitive thing to do. It's something that's visible. It makes it look like you're reacting to the pandemic. And I can see the struggle with that, but I feel there are going to be many more downstream impacts. I was speaking to a very seasoned psychologist, a PhD in psychologist, who's expressed concern about the effects on little children of wearing masks. Little children being 5 years old growing up with covering their faces, we really don't know what the long-term psychosocial effects on that are going to be, even though wearing face masks does cut down on human-to-human transmission of respiratory illness.
So, Dr. Achman, one of the other things that's been discussed is in New York, full-scale lockdowns. In Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said that she is looking at the possibility of full-scale lockdowns. Right. Nobody goes to work. Everybody stays home, presumably for the foreseeable future. It's bizarre to me to hear Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's been selected for Joe Biden's COVID-19 task force, which, of course, will solve all of our problems. Task forces are known for solving many, many problems. They're actually the best thing you can do. Whenever I have a problem, I immediately call a task force. So he has suggested a 4 to 6 week shutdown, which, of course, is completely insufficient if your actual belief is that we need a vaccine in order to stop this thing, because 4 to 6 weeks does not actually take us to vaccine land. The vaccine is not going to be widely available until March. It seems to me that if you call for a four to six week full lockdown, then all you're going to end up doing is just pushing the infections out about 4 to 6 weeks, at which point they immediately spike again.
Right. And you see, that's all of that is fair. And I've also struggled with lockdowns, because we are now seeing some real health effects of lockdowns based on scientific data that's come out of Sweden that, as you know, was an outlier, did not immobilize its population, then was criticized because they did have higher death rates. And now again, they're seeing a surge in cases, but they've discovered that lockdowns particularly affect the people that are over 70, never mind the economic carnage, but just in terms of survival. People that are locked down over 70 double their rates of depression, increase their rates of cognitive decline by 60%, increase their blood pressure, and increase their risk of death. So the Swedish health minister actually made a decision saying, yes, we know about COVID and we know about infection control and that public health concern, but it cannot drown out all other public health concerns. You may not know, I have two parents that are in their 80s in England. They have been immobilized at home since March, and they just had new lockdowns announced, which will continue until April. We know that if elderly people have less than 6 social contacts regularly, they have an accelerated rate of dementia. In the United States, we have some data looking at the short lockdowns that were 4 to 6 weeks in March and April, or April and May, and they showed an increase in deaths through drug overdose right here in Connecticut, not far from where I am now. 20% increased death rates in Connecticut, 30% in Kentucky, 62% nationwide. So leaving the economic part out, which I think about all of the time, because economic hardship impacts health, we have serious health impacts coming. And another complication, Ben, is this pandemic has taught me something as an American citizen only for 5 years, that we truly are a federation of states. So these lockdowns will only have limited effect if they're not unified across the nation. If we have lockdowns in intermittent areas, it is not going to have the same effect as a lockdown in New Zealand or Australia, which was nationwide. In Saudi Arabia, there's a nationwide lockdown in activities now. And for those countries where they have much less back and forth, much less domestic travel, much less international travel since this pandemic, the lockdowns have more effect. So one of the things is, there are many things that have been troubling about the recent election, but one of the things that worries me is the incredible volte-face in health policy we may see if President Biden goes through the inauguration on January 20th, if the election is certified that way, is that we're going to see a big change. And you mentioned some things about his health task force. I was reading today that they want to supercharge funding into rapid testing at a large scale in the United States. So I was thinking about this. Of course, it would be wonderful to have supercharged rapid testing for one of the 365 million people that live here. It would be very good to have contact tracing. We don't have the public health laboratory infrastructure for any of that. Could we build it within weeks to months? I don't know. But that would then be competing with what I think is much more urgent, which is a massive nationwide vaccination program. That is where the focus should be. So in terms of lockdowns, I am very concerned about the unrecognized public health threat of lockdowns, even though I understand I don't want infected people moving all over the place and spreading the infection. Now, where I witness, I see my patients. I see patients every day. I see my friends. They take the precautions seriously. They wear masks. They're not mingling in big groups. They're not going to massive gatherings. They are very responsible, and I think the American public can be encouraged to do that without coming to a total lockdown, which has caused devastating loss of employment for my patients, which means loss of health insurance, which means loss of access to health. At a time when we want to maximize access to health and we need Americans to be forthcoming as soon as the vaccines are going to be here, which will be here before the year's end. Before the end of the year, healthcare professionals like myself will be vaccinated for COVID-19, probably with the Pfizer vaccine first, but Moderna is around the corner and does not need that minus 80 Celsius or minus 90 Fahrenheit storage facility cold chain supply network. So this is an incredible difficult time for the United States. Woe betide whoever is in charge of COVID-19 policy in January. It is going to get much more difficult. And we already have such a fantastic ground laid by Operation Warp Speed, which I see people are very rapidly and eagerly wanting to denigrate. But it's actually given the world several vaccine candidates faster than any time in history. And that is going to transform this pandemic. Nothing else can have the same effects as vaccination. There is no other option compared to vaccination, but social distancing, face masks, and limiting your contact benefits you greatly.
We're seeing Dr. Kanta Ahmed, pulmonologist who's treated COVID-19 patients at NYU Langone. She's senior fellow at Independent Women's Forum. Dr. Ahmed, one of the things that seems to, I think, have really undermined public trust is, of course, the fact that our politicians are so, they seem so inconsistent about when they apply these particular standards. So you'll see Nancy Pelosi out there suggesting that it's Republicans' fault that everybody is dying while simultaneously holding up a COVID relief bill. Or you'll see Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago calling for lockdowns after having declared her own haircuts essential and being out there earlier this week rallying in celebration for Joe Biden. Or Bill de Blasio doing the same thing in New York, talking about how lockdowns are absolutely necessary. And then right behind him 6 days ago is a giant crowd of people celebrating. Meanwhile, if you're an Orthodox Jew and you're having over some people for a Shabbat dinner, then he's definitely going to sic the authorities on you. The inconsistency, it seems, has completely undermined whatever supposed authority these experts were supposed to hold. And to me, that's one of the biggest problems.
Ben, you're so articulate and you're so razor sharp. That has exactly been what has destroyed the United States' confidence in authorities. And it really, in the Financial Times, they wrote an editorial about exactly that. These inconsistencies are really what broke the United States. And the United States broke, not just because of the pandemic, but with the incredible, massive protests after George Floyd. That was a total shock to people that had been sheltering in place and staying at home to see the scale of those crowds, the scale of the mass funerals and how they were permitted and, in fact, even extolled as an important social justice act above and beyond public health measures against COVID-19. But the one example that you failed to mention, which I find most egregious of all as a New Yorker, New York has always been my home in the United States, are the actions of Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has categorically said, even if the Pfizer becomes emergency use authorized or FDA approved, which, Ben, we're going to see by Thanksgiving for the Pfizer product, I'm sure, here in New York, we won't be able to get it until Governor Cuomo's elite panel says that it's okay. And that is the most appalling undermining of American science and public health interests and objectification of New Yorkers. for the vanity of a politician. Now, I was very impressed by Governor Cuomo's early handling of the pandemic, his cooperation with President Trump, even though we all accept he made an egregious error in the management of nursing homes and the resulting massive mortality. 50% of the deaths in New York State were in nursing homes. I agree Cuomo made a mistake, but by putting in this decision to form a panel before allowing Americans to take FDA-approved drugs, which is then followed by the governor of California, the governor of, I think, Oregon and Washington, all Democrats, is sickening. And so those of us that are in healthcare, I've asked my patients, if Governor Cuomo says you can have a vaccine, does that make you feel like you want it? And my patients say to me, no. If my doctor says I should have the vaccine, I'll do it. And in fact, this kind of politicization has been so exploited, I think, for one motive only, and that motive was to undermine President Trump. And I think that that is obscene.
And Dr.
Any
Ahmed.
Any other nation would be celebrating the array of pharmaceuticals and vaccines that we have available, which is going to be available not just for Americans, but for humanity. But here it becomes a case for a cheap political shot. It's a disgrace.
Dr. Kanta Ahmed, Senior Fellow, Independent Women's Forum, pulmonologist. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for the update.
Ben, it's always great to be with you.
All righty, coming up, we're nearing the weekend, so let's do a little bit of Bible talk because, you know, something uplifting going into the weekend sounds good. First, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexper Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us. For a better us.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So every Friday, we try to do something uplifting at the end of the show because we're going into the weekend, want to be in a good mood, and that means let's do a little bit of Bible talk. There's been a weird idea in a lot of philosophy, a lot of Western philosophy going all the way back, and not only Western philosophy, philosophy globally, that private property isn't evil. Right? If you read Rousseau, the idea is that everybody lived free, and the first person who put up a fence had somehow sinned against original creation. There was this idea of the noble savage living in the wilderness and not believing in private property. Now, as it turns out, on an anthropological level, that simply is not true, right? People actually did mark off territory. They did claim territory. And that's always been true. But the idea is that property itself is the root of all evil. Now, that is a misread of New Testament principles in Christian circles, right? The actual quote from the New Testament suggests that greed is the root of all evil, not that property itself or property ownership is the root of all evil, but love of money, not money, love of money is the root of all evil. Right, the quote from the New Testament about how it's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven, that is descriptive. It is not normative. It doesn't mean that if you're rich, you can't enter heaven. It means it's very difficult for a person who is rich to enter heaven because they have the lure of money at them at all times. Okay, but one of the things about the Old Testament is pretty damn clear that private property is not just something that is good, it is necessary. That there is something endemic to human nature that claims property. The property is something we have to recognize as something inherent. It is not, in fact, a social construct. It is not something that human beings placed on each other as a method of exploitation. Property is a way for us to imprint our stamp on the world. There's a great book by the historian Richard Pipes on property that is well worth getting. He talks about this at length, the sort of ideology and philosophy of property. Now, on the right in American politics, there's a lot of talk about why private property is useful. There's sort of a utilitarian take on capitalism, which is that capitalism works, right? It makes everybody richer. It makes everybody more prosperous. It allows for more freedom, and thus it is good. Okay, but there's very little sort of moral explanation of why property ownership is good. Property ownership is good because you are not just your body. You are the things around you, right? When you think of your family, you think of them as an extension of you, and you think of your house as an extension of you, and you think of your things as an extension of you. And this goes all the way back to childhood. You can see little kids fight over objects all the time. Right? Actually, it takes civilization in order to get them to learn sharing. But little kids have an innate animals have an innate capacity to claim things, right? They want to claim the things around them. That is not inherently bad. What is, it can be very good because it allows people to stake a claim and then stand on that claim. So that comes up in this week's Parsha, in this week's Torah portion that the Jews read every week. This is the portion in which Sarah dies, called Chayei Sarah. It's from the book of Genesis. So after Sarah dies, Abraham is trying to find her a burial place. And he goes to Hebron, he goes to Hebron, and he buys the Cave of Machpelah, Marat Machpelah. Okay, this is still now disputed territory. It has always been Jewish territory. According to Jewish philosophy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Adam are all buried in, I've actually been there. It's an amazing place, Hebron. It is in Judea and Samaria. It has been made somewhat dangerous by the fact that there are a lot of terrorists who have tried to attack this particular area. And Muslims also do not allow Jews to go into particular areas of the Marat HaMachpelah for most of the year. But the place still exists. Okay, that is the first territorial claim that the Jewish people make in the land of Israel through a property purchase. And so what happens is that Abraham goes to Hebron, he sees this cave, and he says, I want to buy that as a burial place for my wife. And and the people who own the place, they say, you know what? We're just going to give it to you. And he says, if it is your will that I bury my dead from before me, listen to me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me Machpelah, that's a double cave, which belongs to him. It's at the end of his field. For a full price, let him give it to me in the midst for burial property. Now Ephron was sitting in the midst of the sons of Het, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Het, of all those who had come into the gate of the city, saying, no, my lord, listen to me. I've given you the field, and the cave that is in it. Behold, I've given it to you. Before the eyes of the sons of my people, I have given it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people, and he said, but if you only would listen to me, I'm giving the money for the field. Take it, and I'll bury my dead there. And Ephron said, my lord, listen to me. A piece of land with 400 shekels of silver, what is it between me and you? Bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out to Ephron the silver he had named in the hearing of the sons of Het, 400 shekels of silver accepted by the merchant. Right, so the question is, it seems like Ephron's trying to do a nice thing. Why is Abraham so insistent that he buy the field? And the answer is because property claims matter. And as you can tell, certainly in the Middle East, property claims matter. Property ownership matters. And the consensual exchange of property between people is an endemic good because it clarifies the boundaries between people. When we do not believe that property matters, you end up encroaching on those boundaries rather regularly. Those boundaries become points of contention rather than points of clarification. And there's the old Robert Frost phrase that good fences make good neighbors. That happens to be true. Property ownership makes for a polite society. It makes for a better society. It makes for a freer society because it is an extension of the reality that there are individuals who have claims to things that you do not have claims to. And that is something that is worth remembering as we move forward into a brave new era. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Tropical storm Iota forming in the Caribbean, likely to strengthen into a major hurricane as it approaches Central America. Forecasters say the storm could wreak havoc in a region where people are still grappling with more than 120 deaths in the aftermath of Hurricane Eta. National Hurricane Center says the storm could slam Nicaragua and Honduras by Sunday night. It is the 30th named storm of this year's record-breaking season. Hopes for an end-of-the-year coronavirus relief deal off to a rocky start, raising questions about the chances for an agreement before January. More on that story from Bernie Bennett.
Lawmakers in both parties said that they want a deal, but they have just a few weeks to get one. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer says the starting point on any agreement should be the $2.2 trillion coronavirus bill passed by the House in October. Senate Republicans are digging in on a roughly $500 billion figure that they previously coalesced behind. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned that the U.S. economy will likely need further support from Congress and the central bank, even if a coronavirus vaccine becomes available by the end of the year. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Also at townhall.com, President Trump touting the rapid progress toward a vaccine.
The president said the effort to develop a vaccine and treatments for COVID-19 has been incredible.
Operation Warp Speed is unequaled and unrivaled anywhere in the world.
Appearing in the Rose Garden, he said a vaccine could be available to the general public as soon as April.
Millions of doses will soon be going out the door. They're all ready, waiting for that final approval.
Vice President Pence added that with cases surging nationwide, the government is meeting hospital requests for personal protective equipment. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Major gains on Wall Street this week. All indexes up more than 1%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Excuse me. Why don't you have life insurance yet?
I've got diabetes, and I know the price will be through the roof for the pre-existing condition.
Well, actually, SelectQuote makes it easy to get very affordable life insurance, even if you have a health issue.
I'm listening.
You'll get quotes from some of the country's most trusted carriers. Even with your diabetes, you can get around $250,000 in insurance for as little as a dollar a day.
That would be amazing. What's it called again?
SelectQuote. Just call or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote. Get the coverage you need at a price you can afford. Call 1-800-694-1010 or go to SelectQuote.com today. That's 1-800-694-1010 or SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Monthly premiums vary based on health, company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A judge denying bond for the two men charged with murdering Ahmaud Arbery.
In denying bond, Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley referred to concerns over racist messages sent by Travis McMichael and possible attempts to influence the case by former police officer Greg McMichael. He says he's concerned the two men took the law into their own hands. Defense attorneys for the McMichaels had argued that they wouldn't flee or pose a threat of further violence. Gregory McMichael's defense attorney, Laura Hogue.
A life well lived. Of service to his community.
Prosecutors say the McMichaels acted as vigilantes and were motivated by racist views. They showed the judge photos of a home near the shooting scene that was damaged by gunfire. Prosecutor Jesse Evans.
These defendants, Greg and Travis McMichael, are a danger to person, property, and the community.
Major move by General Motors. The automaker will recall 69,000 Chevrolet Bolt electric cars worldwide because batteries have caught fire. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. SpaceX delaying its second astronaut flight by a day because of weather.
Looking at the weather and also looking at recovery of the booster for this flight, we have adjusted the launch date. We were targeting a Saturday launch. We've adjusted the launch date 24 hours later, and today we're targeting a Sunday launch at 7:27 p.m. Eastern time. That'll put docking on Monday at about 11 p.m. Eastern time.
That's Commercial Crew Program Manager Steve Stitch. Federal regulators have fined the nation's largest public utility, Tennessee Valley Authority, more than $900,000. The government says the utility violated procedures during the startup of a Tennessee nuclear reactor and subsequently misled a number of investigators. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Hi, Rob Burrows here from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We'd like to remind you to consider donating any leftover Halloween candy we can send to our troops during our Christmas packaging event. If you would like to donate leftover candy for packages for the troops or non-perishable food items for our holiday meals for veterans and families of those deployed, please call the Northern California Veterans Museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And again, thanks for your generous support.
The new CDC guidelines for small gatherings include requiring everyone to wear a mask, even outdoors, avoiding direct contact, including handshakes and hugs, keeping music levels down to avoid people singing or trying to shout over the noise, avoiding potluck-style gatherings, and having one person serve all the food so multiple people are not handling the serving utensils. Is there anything else you can think of to add to the list?
No dancing, I think, could lead to miscreant sexual conduct. Joe Biden is like John Lithgow in, what was that dancing movie? Yeah, Footloose, that's what it was, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, definitely no dancing. And no more than 10 Jews in one place at a time. I tell you, this New York City, it's like Hitler. It's like the Nazis purging the Jews. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the analogy that Christiane Amanpour made on CNN. President Trump, it has been several hours since the Hitler thing was trotted out. Got to do it at least once a day. And don't forget to send your checks to Planned Parenthood, because there are too many black people in America. The Democrats know that. That's their plan. I am telling you, were it not for double standards, they would have no standards at all. Well, happy Friday to you, the end of another glorious week in American politics, more than anything else, huh? and media. But politics, media kind of inseparable, conjoined at the brain. We're going to need Dr. Ben Carson to separate them surgically, I think. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. And I was talking to Luke this morning and say, well, how does this come out? I mean, are we going to end up with 70 million, 72 million people believing that the election was stolen if Joe Biden ascends to the presidency? The circumstances are quite unusual, as sometimes they are. But this is a new set of circumstances. It's kind of like the year 2000 in Florida with the recount, except the media is 180 degrees off of where they were then because, you know, it's a Democrat Party thing. And now any recount is, it's Hitler. You're Hitler. I'm sorry, you want recounts and you're Hitler for, because you're looking at possible improprieties in the process. Must be Hitler purging the Jews again. Christiane Amanpour, they pay her millions of dollars. CNN and PBS and, taxpayer Teat over there at, PBS. There it is, and getting the old Hitler thing again. So it is, it's kind of amusing on some level, but on another level, of course, it's not. Also, speaking of not amusing, Barack Obama is back, and he's being fluffed by CBS News. Scott Pelley, with his funny manner of speech and his head cocked to the side, asking fluffer questions of Barack Obama about his fantastical new book, which is just going to be... Really, it's, what is it, 700 and some odd pages long, and this is only part one. This is volume one. It could lead to volume 13. He's just going on and on about himself. I wonder who wrote it. Do you think William Ayers wrote this one, too? It'd be funny if they admitted now, a little bit funny, if they admitted now that, really, William Ayers wrote everything. But Barack Obama's out there, and you'll be surprised to learn that everybody's racist. It turns out that this guy who grew up on the beaches of Hawaii smoking Hawaiian dope and made his way to Occidental College and Columbia University and Harvard Law School, the state Senate in Illinois, the U.S. Senate in two terms as president before being made unimaginably wealthy moments after leaving the White House, is still just bitching and moaning about our wonderful, beautiful country and can't stop complaining and calling everybody names and racist primarily because it's really the only name they call everybody, white supremacist and things like that. And then, of course, they exterminate 50% of the black population in New York City and have awards dinners to honor themselves for it. It's an amazing time. This is the left. These are not liberals. This is the left. Speaking of which, Adam Schiffless, you know, pencil neck over there, he is the inchworm, as his wife calls me. The inchworm was on MSDNC with Joyless Reid, and these people are really mentally disturbed. They honestly are. What's his name? Schiffless. He said some amazing stuff that, you know, the president could waste lots of time with investigations, thus corrupting our democracy. What? Who said that? No sense of irony. And were it not for double standards, there we go. It's pretty amazing stuff. And Joyless Reid, as Joy is calling Adam Schiff the modern day Thaddeus Stevens, an old time member of the House of Representatives, who was unlike the Democrats. He was a Republican, of course. But she's saying that Adam Schiffless, the inchworm, is like Thaddeus Stevens, a famous congressman from the Civil War era. He was very anti-slavery, pro-rights for African Americans, so obviously he was a Republican. And I don't know why she'd be comparing him to a Republican, Thaddeus Stevens. But there it is. It's amazing stuff. She understands, I guess she read like a fortune cookie's worth of history or something. Speaking of reading a fortune cookie worth of history, AOC made more videos of herself. She loves making videos of herself. Have you noticed that? I'm guessing there are probably some out there she wouldn't be so proud of. But, you know, from dancing on a roof like impersonating bad old movies. And now she makes videos of herself. Oh, this is a garbage disposal. It's so frightening. And oh, there are leafy things growing in dirt. I didn't know that leaves grew in dirt. She's the hero of the revolution and the media and the Democrat Party.
but I repeat myself. And she made a video. We've got some amusing stuff of her and some audio of President Trump calling everybody racist. And then his new book, he's got there lots of interviews about his new. It's only part one. There will be more and more and more and more. He's like Julius Caesar. There will be untold volumes written about him. The number will never be counted because there will be too many. And boy, he loves himself. That we know that. But the way he despises this country and the people in it, and that he was a two-term president, and he's complaining that President Trump was elected because Van Jones called it a white lash. They're all mentally impaired. All of them are mentally impaired. Honestly, you didn't run a black person against. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Hillary Clinton is white. You ran a white woman against a white man. It's not a racist decision to vote for Trump when you're running a white. It's sexist. See, it's misogynist, you idiots. You know, get your slurs and your slanders and your smears right. You've been abusing them for so long, you've lost the meaning. It's like swearing so many times that the curse word loses its impact. It's like the word racist. That's why they had to upgrade it to white supremacist, because they had worn the word racist down to a nub. But a lot of things to get to, a lot of crazy Democrats, and of course, the fight continues. Now, it was a big victory for President Trump in a Pennsylvania court yesterday, and there are five more appeals going before a Pennsylvania judge today about ineligible votes and ineligible voters, and there's still a lot of question about whether there will be enough votes to overturn the election in Pennsylvania, the election here, the election there. But the president continues the fight, and in Georgia, the recount is beginning. It's supposed to be finished a week from today on the 20th. They may actually have results by Wednesday, they say. But Friday, the 20th, a week from today, is their deadline for that. All right, and again, an appeal today, five different appeals, one judge, about ineligible voters in Pennsylvania. This is pretty critical stuff. And there was a victory in court, a judge ruling in favor of federal court, in favor of President Trump yesterday, about the Pennsylvania Secretary of State, a Democrat, who decided to unilaterally extend the deadline for various this and that, so that more Democrats could get their votes in after the bell rang. And because they're crooked, you see, because they're corrupt people. There are a lot of corrupt people, and it's amazing how many of them are Democrats holding elected office. But this is an interesting set of circumstances. I will share that with you. And it turns out the Secretary of State, of course, did not have the authority to just wave her hand and say, you know, let them eat cake, and now we will count votes from whenever I say, because the legislature had actually voted on that, and that's our system of government. A lot of Democrats really don't care about that. They steamroll our system of government every chance they get. New lawsuit in Arizona having to do with recount, and the administration, the campaign, the president's legal team continue to fight. I don't know who the head of the president's legal team is. Maybe it's Rudy Giuliani, but it seems to me that, and I was reading yesterday affidavits out of Michigan, and they have lots of eyewitness testimony, and they have whistleblowers, and they have a number of whistleblowers, and they have affidavits that have been signed under penalty of perjury, testifying to what the witnesses saw, and that is vote tampering and throwing away who knows how many thousands of votes in Detroit. That's in Michigan, another squeaker. And so the president continues his fight. Now, is he going to, in the end, win the presidency because they're going to reverse the votes in Pennsylvania and in Nevada? And in, it remains to be seen, but it is a long, hard slog. It's an uphill battle. And the president is fighting it. Now, of course, they're already, the media and others are moving on to, well, the president is planning it. Oh, he already knows he lost. Secret sources in the White House say, more anonymous secret sources. But if Fox News has an anonymous whistleblower that is on camera in silhouette with her voice scrambled, then that's completely unacceptable. You can't have anonymous sources saying that, no, we have anonymous sources, but you can't have anonymous sources. Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. And they're pulling together, and it's true, the Republican is that the Attorney General, the Secretary of State in Arizona, is saying, look, there's no, he can't find any chicanery, he can't find any wrongdoing. It's the way the vote is coming out, and we're going to have to look at the way that this is done in a lot of ways. But in any event, it is an uphill battle. It's a long, hard slog. That doesn't mean it's not being fought. But I would like to see, and I'm a fan of Sidney Powell, and I'd like to see Sidney Powell be the point person for the Trump campaign, the Trump White House, pushing this legal fight. But I don't know who's the voice. We haven't really heard from the president since the day after Election Day. And I don't know who the lead person is on the effort to deal with voting issues. It doesn't seem to be well organized, orchestrated. There doesn't seem to be any structure. There doesn't seem to be a point person. There doesn't seem to be a central message, except in an occasional the election was stolen. But if you're going to say things like that, honestly, you've got to provide lots of evidence, and hopefully the evidence will amount to proof. That's good. Now, Joe Biden, of course, should be rooting for openness and this tired word transparency. Joe Biden should be out there saying, yes, we've got that, absolutely, because he's not going to be seen as a legitimate president by, not just the 72 million people that voted for President Trump, but by probably 100 and 150 ballpark spitball in here. 150 million people may not see him as a legitimate president if this isn't all sorted out to the satisfaction of so many tens of millions of Americans. And if it is done, as so much of it has been already, done behind closed doors, with covering up the windows with papers and placards and things, and not allowing observers in, then you're just fueling bad things. You're fueling bad things. And people, if Joe Biden wants people to have confidence that he was fairly elected as president, then Joe Biden should be supporting the efforts to get clarity, crystal clarity, on all of these matters in the various states where there are issues that are still being contested in the courts. Of course, when Democrats contest matters in the courts, as they so often do, and they have over the years so many times, then it's perfectly legitimate. Whenever Democrats are contesting and they want a recount, Senator Rick Scott in Florida won his race by more than 50,000 votes. He had been the governor, and then he was running for Senate. And he won by more than 50,000, I think it was 54,000 votes. And the Democrats refused to accept the outcome. And Chuck Schumer sent a team of lawyers down to Florida to say they would not accept Senator Scott's victory and they would not seat him in the Senate. And there was a manual recount of tens of thousands of votes. And the Democrats were able to narrow Senator Scott's margin of victory in the recounts. And they wanted to keep recounting until they pulled ahead, and they failed. And when Senator Scott was determined for a second time to be the winner of the Senate seat in Florida, they fight just by hook and by crook, hammer and sickle, for every seat, for every vote, and they don't give up. And the news media always cheers them on, of course, because they're filthy, corrupt, dishonest people, almost to a man and a woman. And they, of course, they're always on the side of the Democrat pushing, and any Republican says, no, I won by 54,000 votes. Stacey Abrams lost by 50-some thousand votes, and she still hasn't conceded. That was years ago. She's still wandering the desert looking for her governorship. It's pretty amazing stuff. The double standard, the hypocrisy. The 2000 recount 20 years ago, there were the Democrats contested Ohio in 2004. Remember, there were Diebold machines, and the Diebold Corporation makes bank machines, ATM machines, and stuff. Turns out the CEO there was a Bush supporter, so they created a big conspiracy theory, and they contested the re-election of course, President Bush. Then they contested the re-election as well, and they had conspiracy theories in Ohio, and they refused to count the Ohio electors once it got to the House of Representatives. And all of this is, of course, conveniently forgotten by all the phony journalists, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, who have no interest in putting anything into context. They only have an interest in destroying Trump and getting their demented boy, Joe Biden, into the Oval Office. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset? Real estate. Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider this. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by private placement memorandum. Read it first. Find it at NRIA.net.
Is the cost of finishing the basement worth the benefit of some peace and quiet?
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing can help you find answers with personalized planning tools and insights to help you get where you want to go, even if it's just downstairs. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
This weekend, shop Kohl's Home Sale and save on your favorite brands. Plus, take an extra 15% off. Cuisinart 10-piece cookware set is now $139.99. Get 30 to 50% off Cuddlebug bedding. And save on Shark vacuum, just $279.99. Plus, give a little more for your wallet with Kohl's Cash. Plus, fast and free store pickup. Give with all your heart. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles, 15% off, are valid November 11th through 21st with promo code CHEER. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Today on Hey Culligan, the best things in life are free. Water tests. Let's go to Candace.
Hey Culligan, how do I learn more about my water?
Candace, let me just test the waters here.
Okay.
Literally test your water.
Oh.
For free.
Free?
Free, Candace. In-home water tests for free. So you know more about your water and how to make it better with Culligan water. And Candace.
Yeah?
We're already on the way.
Oh, good.
Get started for as little as $10 a month for 6 months at participating Culligan dealers.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
All right, let's go right to the telephones and to Kevin calling from Arlington, Virginia. Kevin, you're on the Chris Plank Show.
Good morning, Chris. You are exactly right, as you always are, about the messaging from the GOP. It ought to be very simple, very straightforward, very quick, and borrow from the Democrat playbook. It should be twofold. Number one, borrowing from Clyburn, if true, wouldn't you want to know? And then number two, what exactly are you afraid we might find? As with the Russiagate, I think Jake Tapper reveals himself in his anger, knowing that he was complicit in that investigation. And I think he's afraid, as is President Obama, of what will happen if Trump gets another term.
Yeah,
that's all I've got. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, thank you, Kevin. Concise and to the point. And yeah, and of course, if Joe Biden wants to be viewed as a legitimate president, he ought to be pushing for everyone to be satisfied with the vote in Pennsylvania and Arizona and North Carolina and Georgia and Nevada and in Michigan and Wisconsin. And when you've got tight elections, and it looks like, and in fact, there's significant evidence, including whistleblowers and affidavits now, saying that there was a lot of stuff going on that shouldn't be going on. If you want to be viewed as a legitimate one-term president, which is all that Joe Biden could ever hope to be, he should be supporting the president's efforts to get to the bottom of this.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
I love our news media more than anything, I think. The New York Times has a great headline. It reads thusly: The Times called officials in every state, colon, the repository of all of their wisdom, no evidence of voter fraud. What you called officials in 50 states, and it's shocking, but the New York Times came away and said there is no evidence of voter fraud. I was reading from affidavits yesterday that have been sworn to and attested to by whistleblowers in the state of Michigan, multiple whistleblowers who have testified under oath and penalty of perjury that they witnessed vote tampering and voter fraud. Well, it's not, then they say, well, it's not widespread. It's not very widespread. They introduce the word widespread after you say, well, you got this person over here and that person over there and these people over here and affidavits and you've got witnesses. And I played audio yesterday of a woman who said that she witnessed vote tampering herself. She was a poll worker. She was working at the poll. Not like Hunter Biden's girlfriend. That's a different kind of poll worker. And as when we saw, you see this thing the other day with the Biden family, I guess it was, well, a couple of days they had the Biden family, and there was Hunter Biden with a woman and a baby. And I'm just wondering if the New York Times asked which baby it was, whether that was like the poll worker, because, you know, his stripper girlfriend from Washington, D.C., she had a baby too. I don't know, does that child get the Biden name, or is that like Andrew Stevens in The Bastard? Andrew Stevens and the Bastard, yeah, you know, like that. I think the news media, they don't know. Hunter Biden, he showed up. He looked relatively sober, I guess, at least for the moment. And he was there. He can't wait to... Oh, speaking of which, I was mentioning that Xi Jinping had not called to congratulate Joe Biden, the Chinese leader, had not called to congratulate Joe Biden, but I was suspecting that he had maybe called Hunter Biden to congratulate him. Now it turns out the communists have called to congratulate Joe Biden. You know, look, they're in bed together. They've been working together for a long time. And the Democrats and the Chinese, the Bill Clinton administration also handing all kinds of secrets over to the Chinese when Clinton was president. Just top secret military stuff, though. Nothing to concern yourself with. Nothing national security related. Anything like that. And then Lunch Bucket Joe flying on over on Air Force Two to China, and his son is off, who knows, strip joints or something, and doesn't know where he is. I don't know where he is. And, oh, I never talked to him about business, you know, except that Tony B came forward. Where's Tony B? What happened to Tony B? You know what happened to Tony B? He got the Tara Reid treatment from the media. They don't want to talk about Tony B because Tony B is not a good news story for the Democrats. So Tony B, the B is for buried now. Just like Tara Reid. Tara Reid worked for Joe Biden on Capitol Hill, says Joe Biden sexually assaulted her with his hands. And Tara Reid, you know, that pound sign, pound me too and believe the women and all that stuff, that was a lie. That was just to lynch Brett Kavanaugh with falsehoods. They trotted out these women who the first one was just sort of a very faulty brain. The other two were sinister, and they were making stuff up, figuring they'd get famous, and they did for a little while, kind of like Joe Biden's stripper girlfriend with the baby thing. But it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because all this stuff just gets swept under the rug for you by the media. You don't have to speak, and they defend you. If you spring a leak, they mend you. They're a drunkard's dream, or in this case, maybe a crackhead's dream, if I ever did see one. The media, you know them, on the other hand. They are, you know, the Times, they called every state no evidence of voter fraud. Just forget about all the eyewitness testimony. Forget about the people on the record, on camera, on Fox News. Nobody else would put them on because they're extensions of the Biden campaign. So they're not going to put on whistleblowers to tearfully tell their story of how scary it was to see what was going on. They're not going to do that at all. And they're not going to look into anything. They're not going to look into our media is done. They're not. They're just shut up and, you know, surrender Dorothy is all this. In fact, you know, there is this, I believe this to be true, on the Beltway surrounding Washington, D.C. There is a it's a Mormon temple. It's the Mormon temple. And it looks kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know, Emerald City. Especially at night, it's a cool looking edifice structure, has spires and I think Gideon on the top spire. And when you drive by it on the Beltway, especially at night, it looks very cool. It's a very cool building. And somebody put up a billboard long ago, like an electronic billboard, that says when you drive by it says "Surrender Dorothy, Surrender Dorothy." It's a little humor and probably a little bigotry too, mocking the nice Mormon people. And as I understand it, a few days ago, they changed it to Surrender Trump. Surrender Trump is what it says now, I'm told. I haven't driven by it myself. It's the Beltway. I do a pretty good job of avoiding the Beltway altogether in my life, and I always have. It's a good thing to avoid. But they apparently changed the sign from Surrender Dorothy to Surrender Trump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, There was breaking news yesterday afternoon, pretty important stuff, that out of Pennsylvania, judge orders segregated ballots should not be counted. What? Rules that the Pennsylvania Secretary of State lacked the statutory authority to override election law. That's because it had been passed by the legislature in the state of Pennsylvania, and that's how laws are made. But if you're a Democrat, you're Secretary of State, you just say, well, screw that, don't you know who I am, and you overrule the legislature, which is obviously on its face illegal and won't hold up, but Democrats do this stuff anyway. Then they hope that they get an Obama or a Clinton judge, and the Obama-Clinton judge says, we don't care about the law, you just go ahead and steal whatever you want to steal, because the left is extremely corrupt, very corrupt politically and ethically, morally, you know, they're corrupt. So the statement came out. Court concludes that respondent Kathy Buchvar, she's the Democrat Secretary of State in Pennsylvania, in her official capacity as Secretary of the Commonwealth, they call Pennsylvania Commonwealth, lacked statutory authority to issue the November 1, 2020 guidance to respondents' county boards of elections insofar as that guidance purported to change the deadline in Section 1308H of the Pennsylvania Election Code, Act of June 3rd, 1937, you see, Public Law 1333 as amended, blah, 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 for certain electors to verify proof of identification based on Secretary Buchvar's interpretation and application of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision in Pennsylvania, Democratic Party versus Buchvar, now filed September 17th, 2020. And accordingly, the judge, Mary Hanna Leavitt, wrote, accordingly, the court hereby orders, the word orders is in all caps, that means she means it this time, that respondents' county board of elections are enjoined from counting any ballots that have been segregated pursuant to paragraph 1 of this court's order dated November 5th, 2020, granting a special injunction. Now, that's all great legalese and stuff. But what Ms. Buchvar did was she waved her magic hand and she said, well, you know, I'm just going to change election law and we're going to count votes that came in late because we don't really care. You know, well, why would we care about that? We just want to win. The law is an impediment to our winning. Therefore, we will steamroll the law. Right? Pennsylvania judge sides with Trump campaign, throwing out ballots missing ID deadline. The Trump campaign claimed victory in Pennsylvania court. Now, this is not the most giant victory when it comes to the number of votes that will be affected in Pennsylvania, but it is it demonstrates what the tendencies and the habits of the Democrats are, which are that they will just do whatever they have to do. It's by, you know, by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, is one of their old bumper sticker slogans. But they claim victory after a judge ruled that the ballots still requiring proof of identification beyond 6 days post-election, as outlined in Pennsylvania law, should not be counted in the official state vote tally, right? And it was the Pennsylvania Secretary of State, Kathy Buchvar, kind of an odd name, Buchvar, you don't see that very often, submitted guidance just days before the November 3rd election, reportedly allowing voters missing proof of identification to cure their mail-in ballots until November 12th. See, that was yesterday now, and the judge finally ruled yesterday because the courts move slowly all the time. Justice grinds slowly. Hey, speaking of which, where is U.S. Attorney John Durham? The judge, and why aren't there hearings on Capitol Hill about these things? The judge agreed with the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee's argument that Buchvar did not have the ability, the legal authority, to authorize the change in identification deadline because state law did not permit it, you see. So that is good news for the president, and it is a victory. And it's not going to overturn the state of Pennsylvania. And those are probably the important, most important items having to do with that thing there. But it's good news nonetheless. At the same time, you've got the Philadelphia Republican election leader saying that what President Trump is claiming is not true. There is no hanky. And there is no panky, and there is no voter fraud, is what this guy is claiming. It's also true that the Arizona Republican Attorney General has rejected Trump's unfounded voter fraud claims, colon. Washington Post, they love their colons there, too. There is no evidence. This is the Republican Attorney General in Arizona. And, you know, they kind of get a little defensive about their states. And they say, well, we do things well here. We're not a banana republic. And we know how to count votes. And so when they see these things being hurled about, they become defensive. Let's go to some audio right now, Mr. Michael. Let's go to soundbite number one. Yesterday, I happened to be watching this on the Fox News channel. Fox News reporter Eric Shawn was speaking to Pennsylvania Republican Election Commissioner Al Schmidt. Al Schmidt was being asked a series of questions peppered by Eric Shawn, and this is obviously a key state, and this guy is a Republican, right? He's a He's a Republican, and he's the election leader. Philadelphia election official has dismantled Newsweek magazine. Claims of voter fraud in his city. Well, he's made some claims. But whenever somebody makes claims that conform with what the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, are aspiring to, then, of course, what that person says is unquestionable. It is something that you cannot challenge because it conforms with the Democrat media, but I repeat myself, narrative. So here's this guy, Philadelphia election official, saying that President Trump and other Republicans during an interview said it was on Fox News, and this the snarky, snide piece. Al Schmidt, one of three Philadelphia city commissioners responsible for the voter count, had described earlier in the week how claims made about voter fraud were fantastical and, quote, have no basis in fact at all. Of course, it's Philadelphia. You got to be like a left-wing, Trump-hating Republican to get on the... But here is Al Schmidt. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say he's a never-Trumper Republican, talking to Eric Schaun.
Commissioner, are any illegal votes being counted or Democrats stealing the election here?
No. The only votes being counted by the Board of Elections at the Pennsylvania Convention Center are votes cast by eligible voters on or before Election Day.
What about the ones not being counted at the Convention Center? Because I noticed he narrowed it down there. He's talking to CNN. Not a single dead person had voted in the Keystone State. I'll bet money that's not true. Here is Eric Schaun and Al Schmidt.
The president says there's, quote, a mountain of corruption and dishonesty here. Is that true?
No, it's not true.
The president says observers were not allowed in the counting rooms. Is that true?
That's totally untrue.
Well, there are observers who say that that's true. Eric Schaun and Schmidt, Al Schmidt.
The president says, quote, bad things happened that our observers were not allowed to see. Is that true?
Absolutely not. We've seen observers from the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, from the Trump campaign and from the Biden campaign, more than we've seen our own families, I assure you, over the last couple of weeks.
Not really concerned with how much you've seen your own families at this point, but you see that Eric Schaun is teeing these up one after another, knowing that he's going to swap them down. This was, he knew ahead of time, obviously, how Al Schmidt was going to answer, and he just kept teeing them up to get him slapped down.
Now, the critics would say the observers can't really see anything because the place is so big. What would you say about that? I mean, it's like a football field length, and some have binoculars.
Well, it is a big operation inside, and we've arranged it in a way that observers have access to see what's going on. We have it
with
set
binoculars.
Up completely in accordance with the law, and a federal judge agreed with us on that.
Well, if a federal judge agreed with you on it, it must be absolutely hunky-dory. How could it be anything other than hunky-dory? You got a judge, and a judge agreed, so there we go. Pretty amazing. And but look, it is, this guy is purportedly a Republican. He is Philadelphia vote guru, allegedly. And are you a never Trumper? Would be a nice last question from Eric Schaun to Al Schmidt. One of three Philadelphia city commissioners. He's a city commissioner in Philadelphia. Perhaps a Republican in name only, quite possibly, and an Arizona Republican is saying essentially the same thing. The Washington Post is celebrating. There is no evidence. They're, of course, covering up all of the evidence from the affidavits and the eyewitness testimony on the record and anonymous testimony in silhouette. Pay no attention to any of that.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-488-5203. 800-488-5203. 800-488-5203.
Now there's a natural way to take charge of your blood pressure. Introducing new Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlique helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals. And it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood pressure with new Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Today on Hey Culligan, softer equals better. Here's a tweet from Ed Itchy in Idaho. Hey Culligan, my laundry is so scratchy, I just cut myself on a cable knit sweater. Any suggestions? Hashtag send help. Hey Ed Itchy in Idaho, yes, the Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener will make that thing so soft it'll go from cable knit to cable knot. Itchy. Hashtag soft laundry. Hashtag already on the way. Get started for as little as $10 a month for 6 months at participating Culligan dealers.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter. And those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
All kinds of news breaking just in the last hour about what might be described as a military coup of sorts, not to remove the president, although there are Democrats recommending that as well, including the former CIA director, John Brennan, who is a criminal, of course. But now it looks like there's another criminal enterprise going on at the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is running their own foreign policy, and the Washington Post is applauding it. I'll get to that shortly. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Christine, calling from Fort Belvoir, Virginia. Christine, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. And a big-time fan over on Belvoir.
Beautiful.
I just chimed in late to your show this morning, but I've been following and listening pretty much all you guys on 105.9 for a long time, but more so in the last week. And just so very grateful that you guys are, you know, keeping us educated and informed as much as can be during this crazy time of what feels like constant gaslighting.
Yep.
Right? Coming from mainstream media, you know, friends I've known my whole life that, you know, I grew up in Northern Virginia. My father, you know, did work in politics for a number of years, and you know, I'm grateful for, I mean, he actually counted in Miami-Dade back in 2000. And he was one of the people that counted down there for the Bush campaign. And so, you know, I've seen this stuff go on for years. But, I mean, obviously formulated my own thoughts and opinions on, you know, our party, the conservative party, and really just seen this evolution take place, especially since, you know, Trump took office and, you know, kind of, I don't know.
I don't want to run out of time on you. I got to let you know the clock is ticking, but, you know, I know there was something you wanted to get to.
Your show. You know, I think it's just the fact that so many people, like, hold, you know, AP and Reuters and all these various media outlets, like, with, you know, high regard, and, you know, there's just these esteemed, you know, media outlets that have this sterling reputation. And, you know, I mean, these are the same media outlets that are, you know, part of this whole gaslighting, that are part of this just, like, you know, blatant misinformation that's being spread right now. I mean, they're calling, you know, Biden, you know, our next president-elect. And, I mean, just how do you deal with it when you are out there talking with the public in terms of, you know, just shedding the perspective that maybe we should question?
Yeah, question authority. That used to be a mantra of the liberal left. Question authority. That's until they seize authority. Then the questioning must stop immediately and permanently.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.